Hey, what's poppin'? It's the DealsInDeed.com studios for Thursday. And we're going to go live with KK Downing. I guess we're going on Facebook Live. Why not? That's kind of what we're supposed to do, right? With a good interview?
Facebook Live to jolly old England.
Yeah.
Where Ken is today.
Is he at home?
Oh, I revealed.
Yeah.
Is he not supposed to say that?
It's KK. It's not Ken. That's what we were wondering. What's his real name?
He calls himself Ken a lot in the book.
Mm-hmm. He has...
Ken and Rob.
We have his home number now, so we can call Ken. Ken and Rob.
We got his home number?
Yeah.
Oh, Brandon will be so geeked.
Wait,
that's
which
number Brandon will call?
Which home?
Oh.
How many homes does he have left?
Well, he's got the main one, which is worth about $10 million or $13 million, I think. It's some big estate. Ascot something?
Oh, Ascot.
He designed a golf course there. I mean, it's...
He golfs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He's big time into golf. Yeah, he designed a golf course, and I think it's rather famous. It's had some financial problems, but I think he's reorganized, and
yeah.
I think he had a lot of stuff. He just had to sort of figure out his cash flow issues. But I believe he's okay financially. And Priest has dough coming in, so
mm-hmm.
even though he's not in the band currently.
Well, he wrote a lot of their big hits.
Absolutely.
The big hit.
Kicking out Judas Priest live on Facebook. I have to talk when I type, sorry.
It's got a lot of great pictures in this book. Oh, he has all these glam cars, but he preferred to ride his bicycle.
Oh, cool. Well,
oh, the one with the Rolls
man.
Royce?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some great pictures. I agree.
Yeah.
He has quite a line. I like the picture of him. As stupid as I would never do this. He has like 8 luxury cars, and he's lying down in the field right in front of them, in front of his mansion.
Selfie!
Nice.
Pretty cool.
That's pretty, yeah.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Nice rock star lifestyle.
Yes. Got it. Very nice.
Speaking of pictures and social media and rock stars, did you read the Rolling Stone article about how Instagram is changing the way they put on live shows?
Oh. No, I didn't, but I'm ready. I'm prepared.
Well, I mean, that's basically the whole thing is that these artists are looking at people that have taped the shows or, you know, Instagram parts of the show, and they don't like the way it looks. So that's why you see bigger productions now, which... There's always been big productions in general.
They needed Instagram to tell them this.
Apparently.
How stupid is that? They've got a sound guy who's like, you know, 100 feet out from the stage watching. Do they really need people's phone?
How many people have been going to shows for how many years? Do they need somebody to tell them that that was all completely wrong? Or
the one example they use is Drake, which Lily Mazowet wouldn't know this, but Drake and his show, they have a Ferrari that like flies over the crowd, which, why? And they are kind of saying, for
YouTube,
the Instagram
been
moment.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, for an Instagram.
Yeah, so they're not as worried with the live audience that would be only, you know, 20,000, 25,000. They're worried about the millions of people that'll see it on an influencer's page.
But aren't they then worried that they won't go to the next show when it comes to wherever they are?
Well, no, because there should be something bigger that you could Instagram.
Duh.
It's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Influencers will put up shots of a Ferrari going over a crowd?
Just people will, yeah.
Every time I see the word influencer about someone, I immediately look up their page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I notice that, boy, there sure are a lot of plugs on those pages.
Hey, that's what they got to do. Pay the bills.
But I don't see a lot of stuff that's really interesting to me or fascinating or even influency. It always seems to me like it's stuff for them to make money.
Oh.
So I don't understand why millions of people are so excited to follow and like these pages.
I don't either, but did you happen to see the Today Show about Gen Z basically is throwing themselves off cliffs in order to get Instagram points, likes.
Oh, go ahead, do it.
Yeah.
I think this is the second day of that.
I know.
On average, how long is Gen Z's attention span? This is a very short 8 seconds.
As long as an Instagram.
There's an influencer Halloween costume that's being sold. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't see
what?
That.
Yeah, it's for women. It's basically a sports bra and leggings.
Oh, that's about
which
right.
Which is the influencer costume. That's what they wear in every picture.
Sure, yeah.
So you too, you can go for Halloween as an influencer.
Trudy, when you see the story about people throwing themselves off cliffs, yeah. Do you just feel stupid to be a human being?
I really do. I feel like these people are also doing this. And, of course, the outrage was that they were sucking up first responder services.
Yep. And, who cares about that?
And that Arizona was thinking of putting a stupid people law into effect.
That was cool. I like that part of the story. Yeah, where they have to pay the people back.
They should, though.
Rescue them.
Actually, well, they've been doing that for a really long time.
They would end up doing something dumb anyway.
I know. You know, that's when I was watching the story, I was thinking, okay, this is a story that's supposed to tell people to stop jumping off cliffs for likes. And, of course, no one who's doing it is watching the story or is going to care.
No.
Say, you gotta
give up my likes? What?
It was just a Hohoda Kopke could be outraged. You know, at the end of it, when they said, one of the people, the sources was like, we have to tell them to stop, get off their phone while their mother is lying dead there long enough for us. And she goes, I know. That says everything.
I'll say it right to the camera, stop it.
Hokey Hoda Kotbe.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's killing it.
Can there be a better known hokey, please, out there?
Steve Bannon.
I just don't know. No.
Steve.
Well, he's a hokey. Michael
Virginia Vick. Tech. Tremendous school.
You're all notorious. Who was the other guy who went to Virginia Tech?
Drew.
Drew
Lane.
The guy who had the family.
Oh, the guy. Wait.
Wait a minute.
What's the story?
The children that were held in captivity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
He's a hokey.
Terps. Turpentine.
No, he only got one degree there. He had multiple degrees.
He was very, very successful in life. I
think we have to share the blame with two other institutions of higher learning.
His wife wore the pants in that relationship, but
yeah.
And by the way, Notre Dame Saturday night. Patrick wants to make a bet with me. I don't think I want to bet on
what's
that
the line.
I think it's 5 points. Notre Dame's favored, and
I don't know. I kind of like Virginia Tech.
They're
home at night.
I think Notre Dame's really good.
And has that new quarterback played on the road at night?
No.
Although I do think that tends to be a little overrated when people say that.
I was real excited about our backup quarterback, but I feel like that comeuppance is going to come somewhere. This probably would be a pretty good place for it. But I haven't made up my mind yet, Patrick. We'll see. First Notre Dame visit to Blacksburg ever.
Ooh.
And I talked to somebody there, said it's one of the most in-demand tickets in the history of football there. They said they had many, 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 many calls about the Michigan game that wasn't even scheduled until 2020, but is now canceled.
Very upset about that.
I know. That really sucks. That would have been fun to go to.
Yeah.
Okay, K.K. Downing from Judas Priest coming up, and the name of the book is...
Heavy Duty.
Heavy Duty. And you know what's pretty good? If you like rock bios and you like Priest, I think you'll really like
it. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Pretty close.
Not real happy with everything, but he's not a total downer.
Why would you read a book that was all just, I had a great day today?
Not at all.
It's awesome.
Well, I'd read Mitch's book then.
Oh, true.
Oh.
Oh, no, his are very sad, but they teach you a very important lesson.
Yes.
I still want to know why Maz called Mitch album a year ago.
Oh, I think you and I kind of figured out what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Without talking to each other.
Extremely suspicious about that phone call.
On the beginning of football season.
Yeah. I think there was an ass kiss coming. Or maybe an ass kiss happened.
The important thing to remember about that is that he did not come through and help him.
Oh, I think Maz was shot down in the car.
Yeah.
That's the story we're never going to hear. Well, no, some, we'll hear in about 5 years.
Sad.
Buying or leasing your new... Well, sad that he even called him. That's what makes me mad, that he gave him the chance to shoot him down.
Yeah.
Sad.
Livid about that. Buying or leasing your next newer pre-owned car, truck, or SUV from the Zot family and DealsInTheD.com is different, way different than any place else, because getting a good deal is easy. Dealers will cut each other's throats for $3 a month, no questions asked. The half a Subway sandwich that lives in infamy. In fact, I see this this uneaten half a Subway sandwich that this guy has because he didn't buy a car from Maz.
God, I want that Subway sandwich.
And he's loving every bite.
We've heard from him, by the way.
That sounds delicious.
It does.
And
I mean, what did he say?
Just that it wasn't just the half a Subway sandwich.
Oh.
I think there were some other issues.
Oh.
Not sure what. Mm. Anyway, they could cut throats too, but that's not the way people do business best. They want to give you a world-class experience. They believe it's about people, customers, and employees, and that happy, satisfied employees generate incredibly happy, satisfied customers. Price is important, but partnering with people you trust and enjoy is what works best, a well-rounded experience, not just a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, one-time deal. Shop around first if you must, then come see them at Zot. While you're there, play a game of foosball, get in the massage chair, take a ride, eat some popcorn, kick back and enjoy a cup of coffee, and smiles from your dealer that genuinely cares at Zot. Only from your friends at DealsInAD.com and Zot, Dodge Jeep. I really do dig those Jeeps, mm-hmm. Let's say.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't like those Jeeps?
Oh, those Jeeps are cool.
They're probably a little loud if you're on a long trip or something.
Yeah, but you know, just take them out off-roading.
I used to have one.
There's a lot of places.
Love my Wrangler.
And also, you know that you look cool in it.
We had a Wrangler. I drove a Cherokee for a while and the Comanche back in the day.
The Comanche?
Yeah, just like Cliff Notes Theater.
Yeah. What a zero.
Monster's Ball.
Was that an 89 Comanche?
I think so.
I can't remember.
It's just what we had, an 89.
Really? Was it? No kidding.
Yes.
The Aldo Eye Center helped Laura, registered nurse and mother of two. She's had glasses since she was six. Waking up and falling asleep is amazing to her now. No dried out contacts, no smudged up lenses, no more paying an arm and a leg for either. Best decision she's ever made, hands down. And with Dr. Yalow's office, you can finance right through them. She got custom LASIK and got it from Dr. Yalow because he's Michigan most experienced. And after 30,000 LASIK procedures, he's a master. He won't touch you unless he's certain you'll be thrilled with the results. That's why my sister is going to see him for multifocal lens implants.
Oh, coming up.
Yes, a week from today, I believe.
Wow.
Rolls-Royce surgery for people 45 plus. She will never need reading glasses and will have great near and far vision for life. Don't settle for
media.
Missed that. Somebody else has complained about Matt Farley, by the way.
What?
Claiming that we play it so much that they fast forward through almost half the show.
Well, we'll just have to play it more then.
Now, have we played half the show? I thought that was a little dramatic.
I had a very exciting email from Matt. He has what he called a real band.
He does?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, you don't have to play it.
What? Original music?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I have not listened to it yet either.
Okay.
Do we dare do it live?
No.
Okay.
I think we play enough Matt Farley.
Ah!
Well, I mean, we'll listen to it. If it's really good. I was just interested in maybe if we brought him to town for a gig or something. That might be fun.
He won't do it, though. Remember?
Oh, he'll. I think he could be talked into it. Don't you?
He said, don't feel obliged to play this. I just thought you might be interested.
Yeah, he only has 32,000 songs to listen to already. don't settle for mediocre vision with old technology like Laura and thousands of others. Throw it all away and see like an eagle. Call 800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or sign up at the Yaldo Eye Center. All right. And KK Downing time. It's just about.
Hall Financial Hotline going overseas.
Oh, thank you for that.
We're going to need that extra power.
Free appraisal if you originate a loan with Hall Financial. That's a nice little chunk of change, not to mention what you might save by originating a loan with them and always the refi. If you click on the link on the Drew and Mike Show page, that gets you directly to Hall Financial or, of course, call 248-308-5000. Are we live on Facebook? We are live on Facebook. Is anybody with us this early in the day?
Spend that lunch
I
hour.
I never know how to read Joe. The answer is always yes, but there's no excitement to go along with it. How many?
26 at this point.
26, okay.
Because
that nod to me meant like there was 100. We'll have 100, though.
Can you actually watch this then later? Zoops.
Yeah.
So you can watch KK Downing coming up?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're listening to this off the download.
Right. Hit it up again and check it out.
You could watch us talk to him. How exciting is that?
That is absurd.
I know. I really don't get it. I mean, everybody I talk to says that, you know, the video is important. in getting a podcast out there. And
sure.
I guess for some people it is. I don't know, maybe for Joe Rogan. He got Elon Musk smoking dope on there.
I know.
It was a big deal.
Wow, huge.
Are we in KK Downing world?
Elon.
KK!
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Been enjoying the book.
Excellent. Excellent.
Oh, Breaking the Law. We should just come right out. We were talking about this yesterday in the show when we were promoting this. How big were Beavis and Butthead in pushing Judas Priest along?
Yeah, it all helps.
Were you aware of that? I mean, was that blowing your mind when that was going? Because Beavis and Butthead were just huge over here.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, yeah. Because we actually get it in the UK as well, you know, so all good stuff.
Okay.
Did you were ever aware of any other famous fans that you were surprised about? Like, they just loved Priest, and you're like, oh, wow, I never would have thought that.
Fans, yeah, we get some kind of, some unusual ones, oh. Lady Gaga and different people.
Gaga's a fan, wow.
I'm surprised Gaga likes that.
I'm also a fan, and you probably don't see a lot of women out there unless they're with their leather-clad boyfriends, but, right? We're wrong.
Yeah,
wrong?
Yeah. I can honestly say that we, you know, over the decades, truly, that we've, you know, we were well aware that we have, you know, quite a lot of lady fans. Thank God.
Well, tight leather pants never hurt. It's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, we should start with the look. You were sort of the Jimi Hendrix type with the hippie wizard look, and I think early on you thought leather was a good idea for Judas Priest, and of course later on you would get your way. You want to kind of describe how that happened?
Yeah. I think it was like in England when it was all kicking off, you know, pop was starting to, you know, we had lots of Elvis lookalikes in the UK and the Beatles, and there's lots of bands that my sisters used to listen to that were all kind of in the same clothes with the same haircut and stuff like that. And so, obviously, when blues started to come to the UK in the 60s and, you know, and a lot of other bands, when, you know, blues and progressive blues and rock came about, you know, all of us guys were thinking anything but a uniform look, you know. And so we went down that kind of avenue, creating our own individual kind of look. And but at some point in the mid-70s, I'm thinking, you know, something's missing here. We've got a great name for a band. You know, we've got all this dark, kind of moody, alternative music. And then it's kind of dawned on me that really, perhaps it is we do need a kind of a uniform. You know, I thought that we would be more stronger and I don't know, kind of powerful in a way as a look that would, just bring us all together as a force, a unit, really. And I'm thinking, and the colour's got to be black because the music's pretty dark. And but then again, we wanted people to see us from far, you know, far back in the theatres and that. So obviously, the sparkle of studs and, you know, an array of studs and all of that. And I think that it was a kind of, well, I know now that it was a pretty smart move to give the band this kind of unique identity and a uniform look, which was really quite powerful to the extent that obviously it spread out into the audiences. So the audiences of, you know, leather and denim and leather became something, you know, quite on a global scale.
So looking for a look, looking to not have a look, you end up having a look, and it works.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Strangely enough, but because, you know, definitely guys wearing, you know, green and pink and cream, it just wasn't happening, was it, really? You know, not for Judas Priest. So, you know, I kind of started to take to the look in the in about 1976, I think, and progressed it. Talked Rob into getting some clothes made with me and the rest of the guys. Obviously, quite quickly it came about, and by the time British Steel had been constructed, the album, then our look was also consolidated. So we had a great name for the band, we had a great look, we had a great album sleeve, and we had a great selection of songs on the record.
Do you ever think Rob overdid the look at any point?
Still does, doesn't he?
He added a lot of metal, he added a lot of accoutrements.
Yeah, I mean, you should feel the weight of some of those clothes that Rob, you know, you could weigh them in at the scrapyard and get some serious dollars.
go ahead.
How he used to wear some of that stuff on stage, you know, and throw himself back about in the day, you know, I'll never know, because it was, you know, it was kind of tough. But as I was saying, we would stand behind the curtains ready to go on that stage, and I would look at my bandmates, and we're all there in leather and studs, and it felt good, you know, and it was quite unique for a band to have that, you know, that about their presence, really, something that was that kind of bonded the whole band together.
So I'm wondering, though, you were talking about your tour bus in Heavy Duty, Days and Nights and Judas Priest, and how after a while you kind of got sick of the fact that, you know, it's kind of nasty on board one of those buses. And imagine, you know, coming off the stage every night, sweating your ass off in leather, and then you got to put that on before you go to your next show. I mean, it must have been
stunk.
Kind of gross.
Yeah. We had to be, we had to work hard, you know. You know, we would have to take our stage clothes, I did personally, back to the hotel, you know, use hair dryers, radiators, whatever you could, you know.
Really?
So we had to do that. So that's a bit disappointing for the fans to hear all that we were there, you know, not exactly with the hair in curlers and the ironing board out, but, you know, in order for those clothes to be dry for the next night, you know, that we have to go through some, endeavors to make sure that, as you said, because that clammy kind of wetness, you know, especially in the winter, is not good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's so many things in this book that I wanted to read about, like the movie Rockstar, which we'll get to. But, you know, back in the early days, before I was really a huge rock and roll fan, although I was aware of the Beatles and the Stones from my older brothers and sisters, I was amazed to read that you guys recorded at Tittenhurst. Is it Tittenhurst or Tightenhurst Park?
Yeah.
John Lennon's full place?
That's right, yeah.
And you recorded Living After Midnight there, or you conceived it there?
Yeah. We did the whole album there, British Steel. But to us, it was just, I didn't know anything about the house at all when I went there. I didn't know it was John Lennon's house, and I didn't know he did the album Imagine there with Phil Spector and,
the white piano and everything.
Yeah, the whole thing. But the house, you know, had been kind of stripped out. I mean, we slept there. There was beds and stuff and a good, well-equipped kitchen and that, you know.
You mentioned John and Yoko outlets.
Yeah. The sockets were all the headphones, and there was sockets in the walls, and they were all labelled up John and Yoko, you know. But
what?
I was never a Beatles fan. I was more interested in whether I could fish the lake or, you know, bring the motorbikes down.
And where did Living After Midnight come from?
Yeah, I was saying we just went to the pub one night and we came back, you know, and half of us went to bed, I think, and then Glenn decides to plug in because he's had a few beers and start making a noise, and so he starts bashing out a few riffs and that, you know, and Rob comes down and I think we all grouped together and joined in, you know, and Glenn was bashing out what would be become to be Living After Midnight, and hopefully we, you know, even through the night after a few beers, managed to knock together a decent little song.
Band's Judas Priest, you said, could not blow off the stage, unlike most AC/DC.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And Status Quo.
Yeah. I did say say that, didn't I?
You did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because you learn something in life, you know, that when you play with these bands that in their repertoire, really, you know, that in their set list, they hit on this like beat and this tempo and this groove, you know, and it's just, you know, certain bands, you know, just get the audience, you know, fired up in a certain way, and it's very, very difficult, you know, to follow a band like that. You know, and I can say that now because I think since that tour, I don't know if AC/DC's ever supported anybody since then, you know. You know, they've always been a headline act, you know. I mean, bands can be as good as each other in their own right, but it's hard to better each other, you know, certain bands. But they were, you know, musically, you know, very proficient at what they did, and obviously very, very professional, and had their devout fans.
And you liked the guys a lot. You said they were very nice, and
guys.
I believe you said was it a month or so before Bon Scott died, ironically, so you got to hang out with him.
I'm not sure if it was a month. I mean, I'm not sure if it was a week or two. You know, which was tragic, really, because we'd had such a great tour, such an enjoyable tour. And then that happened, which kind of, you know, saddened the event a little bit. But obviously, as time passes now, we look very fondly on that great tour, and the guys were they're very kind to us, you know. It meant a lot, really, little things that they did.
And damn, they're going to stay together, whether it's just Angus and no one else.
Hopefully.
Right?
Well, I say, you know, the legendary AC/DC, you know, those guys, you know, absolutely top notch people, really, really top notch, you know. But, you know, it seems the way of the world now. I say, time's ticking on, Trudy, and us dinosaurs are starting to group together on the prairie, ready to migrate to the next pasture. I don't know. So it's going to be interesting, years to come.
Okay. Got very philosophical for a second.
I think about it at my age, Trudy. No, I'm actually going to be 67. Hopefully a young 67 still this month. So still rocking away, rocking and rolling.
You know, you mentioned, I'm trying to remember if I read this off Wikipedia or in the book, because I did go through all the Wikipedia stuff just for the heck of it. And it was about Glenn no longer able to play with Judas Priest, and suggested that you thought they would ask you to come back, and they didn't. And they said, well, we didn't think you wanted to come back because you retired in 2011 or whatever year it was. Did you feel that was disingenuous on their part? To say that, we didn't think he'd want to.
It's never an option, really. I think Glenn, you know, the way I have it is that Glenn appointed Andy, who was there at the time, straight away, just, I can't do this. You know, you do it. And that was it. It was a done deal.
Whether you asked or not, it was done.
It was done. Yeah. So when the fans say, well, why didn't KK ask to come? Well, I didn't, you know, it was announced before, you know, there was no opportunity. You know, it was a done deal. It was already out in the press.
You can't talk about Priest without talking about Rob and his sexuality. And you said it was never a big deal because England, it was totally different. So you guys come to America. What was the first thing that made you realize, like, oh, wow, this means a lot more to people over here than it does back home?
Yeah, my observation was not everywhere it didn't, you know. It didn't. You know, New York, L.A., the obvious ones, but then you go to other places, Washington, Philadelphia, lots of places, you know, it didn't. But some areas, I guess, think it wasn't just Rob, it was all of us, really. I think the bus driver used to lock us in the bus. You know, if he used to go to a truck stop to gas up, you guys, you stay put, you know. If you want anything, I'll get it for you. You know, when we go through certain states. And I think he had a point. We'd be there with spandex and the hair down to the what? You know, he probably, you know, I mean, probably did us the right thing, really. I mean, if he was told to look after us, he was probably doing the right thing.
But when he came out of the closet, you know, it kind of surprised a lot of people, but you didn't understand what a big deal it was or why it was a big deal.
Rob was always right. Ever since I met Rob, Rob was always Rob, you know, and in the industry, and obviously I always thought that the fans' perception, you know, would be, if it was a secret, it was the world's worst kept secret, is what I thought, you know. So, you know, it might have been something to Rob. In fact, when Rob left the band, I thought he's going to make his announcement now because he just wants to get it over and done with, I think, you know. But he didn't. For quite a lot of years, he didn't make the announcement, so I figured, well, I was wrong, you know, that's not why, you know, well, one of the main reasons he left the band.
You did see the benefit, though. He, you know, it opened up a whole new demographic for the band and less competition for chicks.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't bother.
Rob had so many female adorers, I can tell you. I mean, he really did, you know. He really did.
He's a singer.
So many of the girls wanted to get a hold of Rob. I could definitely say, and some of them did, I think.
You know, another thing we should mention, because so many people are aware of, is the movie Rockstar. And, you know, it's such an interesting story that this guy in this tribute band gets in the band. But of course, the movie is nothing like the reality of Judas Priest. But did you go to the movie? Did you find it amusing? Or was it just something? Because I know it wasn't, I think the way it was intended was nothing like the way it came out.
Yeah, it's difficult for someone like me who actually lives the reality of the music industry, you know, and doing what we do, you know, to see anybody try to act it out. You know, I mean, the only way you can do it is like Spinal Tap, you know, because, you know, in a comedy way, I think, you know, anyone else trying to do it in a serious way, it's very, very difficult to do, you know. And obviously when incredible Ripper came into the band, you know, with his amazing vocals and amazing story, obviously he did get a lot of mileage and a lot of press and prompted the movie. And they wanted us to be involved to start with. It was all going to be that way. But then we were uncertain about it, really, because it was going to be acted out, you know.
Yeah.
By, you know, actors and
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, you know, as good as they are, it's difficult to act. But there was some pretty good stuff in it. You know, some pretty good stuff. But whether it actually carried weight as the bona fide story in the end, I'm not too sure. You know, it was a long time ago since I checked it out. To be fair,
was there anything that really gave you a good laugh watching the movie?
I don't know if I actually watched it all, to be honest. You know, I think it was just the fact that, you know, it's like someone like me can, it kind of, when someone's acting the part of, you know, a rock star, a musician, it just, obviously, it stands out a country mile, you know, that it's just.
Wait, who was
not,
you?
Not
who
real.
Did play? Who played you, KK?
I'm not sure.
wasn't it Zach Wilde and
Zach.
Who's the other guitar player?
I think Zach was in there. Well, obviously, the music, some of the music was great, but you know, I'd be interested to check it out again. I only did it kind of in a kind of flippant sort of fashion, I suppose. I should go back and watch it for real, but I don't think it exactly set the world alight.
Yeah. It was entertaining, though. I was amused.
Sure.
Jennifer Aniston's always kind of fun. That was really one of her more enjoyable movies, if you ask me.
Yeah, definitely was.
And Marky Mark's always great.
I was kind of bummed out, though, that Judas Priest didn't score the movie. That fell to Trevor Raven of Yes. Seems weird.
Yeah.
Prog rocker doing a metal rocker movie.
Yeah, excellent guitar player. Songwriter, yeah, he's been around a long time.
Hey, speaking of movies and music, did you guys turn down a song for Top Gun?
Yeah.
And why?
Unbeknownst to us, really, because, I mean, we were approached, we'd pieced the Turbo album together in Los Angeles at the record plant. And it was just a little bit late in the day because we kind of compiled the album, but apparently the producers... there was an opportunity. They had heard the material we had, and they wanted the song Reckless. And Glenn and Jane from the management office went down to meet with them. And obviously nobody knew who Tom Cruise was then. You know, I didn't, or what the deal was. But I think Glenn and Jane were optimistic that they may... they were offered... several tracks that were not going to go on that particular album. I think that we remained optimistic that they would choose one of those tracks instead, but they passed on it.
Huh.
And so that was the opportunity missed there, really.
Heavy Duties, Heavy Duty, Days and Nights, and Judas Priest, K.K. Downing. One of the themes is really that you mentioned Glenn and Jane. Glenn Tipton, the other guitar player, feeling you were sort of maneuvered or pushed to the side a bit by him, and really that relationship wasn't good. It was a big reason for you leaving the band, too, and a lack of, you felt the sound live, you were very fussy, and I'm glad, you know, people like you are, because we do care when we go to the shows. But I just wondered if he'd talked to him since the book had come out. I'm guessing not.
No.
No.
No. No, I haven't. But like I say, you know, I touch on the reasons, and like I say, it's kind of like as Frankie says, you know, I did it my way, or wanted to do it my way, and just felt that there wasn't, you know, a level playing field, you know, exactly. Within the band, especially to more the latter years. There was lots of reasons, really. I wasn't particularly, you know, I always had the saying to the guys, you know, guys, the older we get, the younger we really need to play, you know, and that wasn't really happening. I felt it was kind of winding down a bit, really, you know, I was a bit despondent about that, but there was lots of reasons, you know. Being asked to do an EP, which was a bit ridiculous, you know, because Rob had just released, in the year before I left, he actually released two studio albums and did tour dates with other guys, you know, in the year before I left. So things weren't, it wasn't a happy place for me, you know, but I wasn't enjoying the shows as much as they, Glenn wasn't really a drinker, but he did it his way. Have a few beers before you go on, beers on stage. You know, other guys would go out there with a joint and a bottle of Jack Daniels. Everybody does it their way, but you know, if it's kind of not going to change, then something has to happen.
And it was you.
But you weren't really ready to retire in 2011. I mean, that term was used, and I think you ended up objecting to it.
Yeah, no, I quit.
How about making music now?
Yeah, well, you know, I do things kind of here and there. You know, I do things if people ask me favors, and I do things, you know, I just... re-recorded Beyond the Realms with Les Binks and Paul Crook from Meatloaf, you know, who's a great guitar player as well, you know, so I just do things randomly here and there, you know, But I guess the winter's closing in now here in the UK after this beautiful summer we've had. And I guess I'll lock myself away in the music room and see what comes out of it in spring.
Ah, spring.
Hey, what a tease.
All right. Well, heavy duty. I'm glad you got it down on paper. It's fun to read. I haven't finished it, but I'll keep going. Heavy duty days and nights in Judas Priest. KK Downing, thanks so much for your time. It's great to talk to you.
And thank you very much, you guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak just not just to yourselves, but also to the listeners. And a big hello from me. And like whatever happens, keep supporting the Priest. And it's always going to be a great show with them. Some very cool songs, as you know. So, you know, and I hope to see everyone at some point. One day.
Hey.
That's a tease. That's a definitely thing.
At one point,
definite
one day.
Tease.
Yeah.
Take it.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck with the book.
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye.
Adios. Bye-bye.
Bye, Ken.
Trudy called him Ken.
I know. I want to call him Ken.
You know, he's kind of bummed about towards the end of the book, he's talking about Ripper.
Yeah.
And Ripper's trying to do some dates in the UK with, you know, he's on two albums. They originated two albums with him. He wrote a couple songs. And he wanted to use the album cover on the poster. And Glenn Tipton's girl is Jane. Apparently she shut him down. Like, no, you will not use the Judas Priest cover from, I think it was Jubilation.
Right.
And I know KK thought that was crap.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of is crap.
It is kind of crap. Yeah. What does it matter to her?
Wait.
I know. It's so
less than the legacy.
Why didn't he go on tour with Ripper then? Since.
I thought about that.
Since Alford is back with Judas Priest. And they're on tour, as a matter of fact, right now. So.
Yeah. I don't know. Who are the two guitar players now in Judas Priest? I don't even know. I mean, they replaced KK. And then, yeah, when Glenn got sick. He's got MS, I believe. Mm. Or Parkinson's, maybe?
You know what the great Parkinson's. Thing is about music? It's so easy.
So when Glenn leaves, you would think it would make total sense to the fans to bring him back. But they didn't. They just
seems a little petty, maybe? Or maybe it's more trouble than it's worth? I don't know.
Andy. Remember he mentioned Andy?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Andy. I didn't know the book actually was talking about
Andy!
towards 2004 when Rob Halford came back and Sharon Osbourne is conscripting them to do Ozfest. And occasionally, Ozzy just was not going to be able to go up and Rob would stand in for him.
Oh, wow.
One of the reasons Priest reunited was because Sharon wanted Rob available when Ozzy wasn't up to things.
God, she's calculating, isn't she?
She is. Well, she got Judas Priest back together.
Yeah.
So
here's a song by a gay guy.
She needs to then get all of them on the talk, right?
Yeah, maybe Rob can host.
Can you imagine the people who watch the talk seeing Judas Priest?
What is going on with the talk? I have not watched it since the week of Julie Chen Moonves' departure.
Is the Dancing with the Stars judge the permanent person?
Who? Carrie Ann Inaba?
Carrie Ann Inaba? I don't know. She was on that day, and Carnage Wilson was on the day before.
It's just funny. We only cared to know whether or not Chen Moonves was still on. Now the show doesn't exist.
Zero interest.
Anymore.
I never watched the talk.
The last thing I heard was that ever. Rosie O'Donnell was gunning for that position.
I heard that, but.
Oh, boy.
I don't. You know what? I wonder if she doesn't
Sharon
get along with
not,
somebody on there.
Sharon
yeah.
would not allow that.
If they're going with the heavy chick route, I'd go with Carnage all the way.
Yeah, you're a big fan of Carnie Wilson, huh?
I just like saying Carnage. I don't know why. That seems like
she should
a cool
change
name
to
her.
Carnage Wilson.
Yeah, I think it'd be
That'd
great.
That'd be a good band name.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Is there a band
Carnage! Name? Carnage! Wow, that is a great band name.
Well, there's got to be
hey,
a band.
Hey, maybe that's the network name. Carnage! Carnage yeah. Broadcasting.
I like it.
There's got to be a band already named that, right?
Yeah.
I would think so.
No, come on, really?
There's a Marvel...
It's too cool a word.
Marvel
to
character
a
named Carnage. Let's see what he looks like. Ooh.
Not
he's kind of scary.
I'm thinking he doesn't look like Carnie.
Oh. He's badass. Of course he is. He's Carnage! Carnage.
So
you know what we should do?
Mm-mm.
What should we
Let's
do?
Let's see. We should get JBK from 10 o'clock last night. Their first story was about the man who's... I mean, this is, we're in the Me Too movement.
I love and how a man was JBK.
Channel 2.
Jesus be kind. That's what that stood for.
Is that what... Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Got Ally Banks says he was Me Too'd by his boss. And the story is... I don't know.
Was the boss female or male?
She's female. So it's a little different.
Huh.
What did she do?
Well, you'll see. They have some pictures to go along with it.
Oh, she hot?
I'll let you be the judge. Jets have been making pictures were not terribly revealing.
First story on JBK?
Yeah, it was 10:01 last night.
She Me Too'd somebody and did video of it? She's
one
unusual chick.
And he got fired.
Says he was sexually harassed by his female supervisor. Darren.
Aurelio Stella claims there is a double standard. When he complained, he said his allegations were ignored. Now he's out of a job, and the woman he accused is still working.
At one point, she said, Aurelio can spank me in front of the whole team.
In 2015, Aurelio Stella says the sexual harassment from his team leader at Ally Bank started out subtle, innuendo, sexual comments, but it got progressively worse. He claims she began to send nude photos of herself, eventually using her position of power to pressure him into a sexual relationship. His attorney, Scott Beatty.
Mr. Stella told her early on, you're my team leader, you're making me feel uncomfortable. And in response to him saying stop, she started sending him nude pictures of herself.
Nice.
It was startling for me. It was uncomfortable.
That one wasn't very good.
Is she licking her tit in that picture?
Oh,
wait, go back.
Because it's blurred.
I totally missed it. There's why is she showing her
relationship?
She's quite busty there.
Yeah.
Wait, why is her face blurred there but not the other picture?
Attorney Scott Beatty.
Mr. Stella told her early on, you're my team leader, you're making me feel uncomfortable. And in response to him saying stop, she started sending him nude pictures
that
of herself.
Is that what's going on? Now I get it.
Didn't catch that the first time?
No, I didn't.
Good eye, Mark.
our management, because I was a male, they were males, and I knew how they talked and operated. I didn't think they would take me seriously.
He sounds like a Me Too guy.
Yeah, he sounds beaten up.
What's this
up,
picture?
Man?
What's going on there?
She's topless with a finger in her mouth, it looks like.
Oh. Okay, she's a thinker.
We'll post some of these on the website.
Finger mouth is hard to pull off. You actually have to have that quite just right, or it looks dumb.
The finger?
How do you know? Yeah,
everything's
that's what she's doing.
Everything's blurry.
She's just, I'm just nude, laying in bed, being sexy. That's what that picture
cool.
is. Cool. Good for her.
Stella didn't report it and claims the messages, photos, and videos of her pleasure.
And there she is, just nude in the bathroom. She's got from that, she seems to have an okay body.
Yeah.
I think we're missing the point of the story.
I was going to say something to that effect, but I was afraid you were going to say you can have her, so I didn't really want to comment because...
They talked and operated. I didn't think they would take me seriously.
Because of that, Stella didn't report it and claims the messages, photos, and videos of her pleasuring herself only intensified. Over time, he admits he developed some feelings toward his team leader.
Over time, I will say that I saw glimmers of a good mom, and there was
good
a slight attraction there. And
those
I actually
pictures?
Started to grow feelings. It became
it's kind of funny.
Internal
There's
conflict,
a nice titty shot.
If you will,
for me, cow.
Because every day she would remind me, keep your mouth shut, I can get in trouble as your manager.
Nice.
After 13 months, the IT manager says he ended it once and for all, but his female team leader began to retaliate. When it began
but
to...
There's a little video of her hand doing something.
I think that was stock footage of someone texting.
Really?
Did I just space out and miss something? He participated in it back and forth?
Yeah, he banged her for a while. And then she kept telling him to shut up about it, not say anything. And he realized it was wrong, even though he thought she was a great mom.
Well, if he got blown out and that's the cause, that's not
right.
Well,
he said she wouldn't stop harassing him after he broke it off. And so he went to management and they said, well, she says that you harassed her, so you're fired. And his
they got
lawyer,
nothing on me past 92, tops.
His lawyer says they weren't interested in his pictures or videos or.
So she should have promoted him, is the point.
No, I think he's just saying
you hire some girl with no experience, you bang her, you promote her. It's a win-win situation for everybody.
She was his boss.
Yeah, I know.
So
impact his work performance, Stella claims he reported it to management. Stella. When the woman was questioned, she denied it, claiming he was the one that was creating a hostile work environment.
Oh, bitch.
Ally Bank fired Aurelio.
When Aurelio complained, they did nothing and they fired him. So his fears
looks very somber, doesn't he?
Is he related to Senior Smoke?
See the photographs that he
not
had.
Sure.
They didn't ask for the photographs that they
it
had.
It was his son.
They didn't ask for the emails and the text messages that he had. They
was his first name Aurelio? Or
thanks to this guy for listening to the podcast, too.
I was sexually harassed, and they said, okay.
So that's why they are now suing the woman and Ally Bank.
Is that a picture of her ass? Oh, no, that's her front. Her hair's covering her face. Right?
She's got, is that liquor in her hand?
It makes me angry. She clearly violated policy with sending
to be extra
pictures.
Sexy.
She was in a position of power and in a position to influence my performance.
In response to the lawsuit, an Ally spokesperson issued this statement, which in part reads, Ally does not tolerate harassment in the workplace. And has
their statement should just be, oh, why did it have to happen here?
Procedures.
Why can't it be some other bank?
Commitment to address the concerns of any employee who believes they have been harassed. While we do not comment on the details of pending litigation, we have thoroughly.
Hey, did you see the boobs on that new intern?
Denied the complaint allegations.
So you can see their manager's titties.
They are with the integrity that they profess. I'd like to see
them. No,
they
didn't ask for them. Now they're saying.
Wow. That's so, a wild story.
That's a pretty wild story.
Well, I guess cleavage is alive and well in that bank.
Yeah, that should be their new slogan.
More cleavage.
Ally Bank, more cleavage.
You put a couple of dollar bills between her boobs and then, you know.
Yeah, make a deposit. Make a deposit at Ally Bank.
I do feel we have sort
of that her boobs.
We missed the point of the story somehow.
Yes.
I don't want to beat myself up over it, but.
What's the point of the story?
That she had some nice pictures.
We definitely did not miss the point of the story. If that was Taryn's point of the story, then yeah.
Fox 2 did find some good video go-along pictures for the story.
Yes.
That may have been the reason it was their lead story.
Well, this is a well-done piece.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, very well done.
How dare you say that?
I'm happy with it.
Looks like Huel's asking some tough questions.
Yes, Huel.
Very intrigued by this.
Consternation happening.
Keep this story alive. Yeah, why can't they put some more pictures up there while they're talking about it?
They're still talking.
That she wrote to him. So, you know, he's upset that Ally didn't really treat this case the same for both individuals involved.
And, of course, he wants to clear his name.
And that's what's going on right now.
All right.
Thank
more
you
to come.
It's fresh. Huel would say that on the news.
That's his inner monologue.
Oh, okay. I thought that was just sort of a transition to the next story.
Hey, at Hoop McInerney, Starlink in 2019 has arrived. All the new cars are here, including the 2019 Lincoln MKCs. You can get a lease right now for as low as $331 a month. X and A plan customers get even more remarkable savings. And if you're one of those come on over people from another place and you have a fancy car, you're a conquest buyer and you're going to save thousands on the Continental. It is America's foremost luxury sedan. And making their first appearance are the brand new 2019 Lincoln Nautilus. The Nautilus comes standard with safety extras that otherwise cost thousands of dollars, like the 22-way adjustable seat, blind spot monitoring. Lincoln also has the Lincoln MKZ. That's what I'm driving right now. It's a whole line of great cars. I love them all.
The car still looks beautiful.
I know. And it's starting, you know, I'm at the point, too, now where it's a new car and it's starting to get maybe lived in.
Inside.
Yeah. Like, which is kind of a bummer because it's a brand new shiny toy and now it's like, left something in my car. Now it's getting dirty. And
well, my car always becomes my car eventually because all my crap is, there's piles
but you
of
don't,
stuff in it.
I imagine you don't stave it off as long as maybe I would.
No, like,
I don't.
No, it's 2 weeks and it's my car.
Like a weekend, I'm like, I don't want to even eat in here because I don't want to get shit all over this brand new shiny toy.
Oh, that
and now
happens.
It's a lot of, I know, well, you're a different breed.
Well, you know, what's good for that is a vacuum cleaner.
I know, but that's work.
That's true.
Find out how long you can keep a car looking new. Call Jimmy D, 855-567-STAR, or email him jimmyd@starlincoln.com. Check out everything they have. Get the star treatment, too. Free loaners, free pickup and delivery, immaculate showroom, and a service area with a welcoming staff of sales pros. It's all at Hoop McInerney Starling, and for 50 years, the legendary jewel among Detroit Lincoln dealerships. It's in Southfield at 12 and Telegraph.
Okay, and another day, more important data from the world of Judge Kavanaugh.
Oh!
And today, it's a letter that he wrote inviting his friends to Beach Week when he was 17.
82, baby.
Beach Week.
That was wild.
I really think we're zoned in on Beach Week and the atrocities that occurred in this period when we zero in on Judge Kavanaugh and why.
Lots of boofing.
He may or may not be
and puking.
The man for this job. We now have evidence of what was going on in his mind when he wrote seven friends a letter inviting them to Beach Week, which, by the way, $400 right. in 80.
Who's the weirdo that kept the letter?
I know. That's the first thing I said is, who the fuck saved this letter?
That was my first thought. My second thought was, why is his penmanship so shitty?
I know. It didn't look.
His penmanship is terrible.
It's pretty sloppy.
How old was he at this point? How old was this kid?
Just graduated.
17.
Yeah, just so. Graduated.
But, in his defense, look how organized he is. He's telling everyone how much it costs. He's telling them not to fuck it up and make too much noise because they'll get kicked out in a heartbeat. He's telling them that there's eight beds and those eight beds are for them and for no one else.
No devil's triangles?
Doesn't mention devil's triangles, but he does invite, well, I'll just read the letter. That was my tweet this morning, which got a really blistering response from this one guy.
Oh, I'm shocked.
I said, here's a letter Kavanaugh sent to his friends for Beach Week or whatever. And then I said, who saved this? And why am I reading this? and that got angry. Oh,
just
man,
that.
This guy's upset. Yeah, very, very angry.
Wow.
I responded to him, too, which I don't normally do, but I did. Our lease starts on Saturday the 18th at 3 p.m. I will not be there until Sunday night because I'll be in Ireland. Ooh.
Ooh.
Was that really necessary to say he would be in Ireland? Couldn't he just say he wouldn't be there till Sunday?
No, he wants people to know where he's going to.
A bit of an information dump. Therefore, one of you must take the lease to Leland Realty and pay the remaining money, which is $398. Oh, $50 from each of us. Wow, that's... $398 for a week for Beach Week? Holy shit, what a deal. Nice job, Kavanaugh. The place is the Atlantis, number 1408 on 103rd. 103rd. Leland Realty is on 87th or 89th. Ooh, that looks a little... Details a little weak there. If you guys want to get in on Saturday, you must arrive at Leland by 7 p.m. on Saturday. The money must be in cash. Circled. One of you has to grab the bull by the horns and take charge.
He's a delegator.
This guy is either really together.
He's a delegator or he's bossy.
We must supply our own tells. I think he's an organizer, really. That's what it sounds
like. Well, yeah, he kept his fucking calendars for so many years. That's weird.
Hey, well,
His dad started that cult tradition.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Dad's alive.
I know. Alive. That's the joke. That was the first thing Trudy and I said as we were watching it live. It's like, his dad's alive. Why is he crying?
We must supply our own towels, sheets, pillowcases, blankets, etc. Our problem down there might be too many people. We're going to have to decide while we're there who we want and don't want. Possibilities for stays a few more days or more, R.E. Etc.
I hope your party sucks.
If half of Gonzaga St. John starts coming, we might have to give the boot or else we might get it ourselves.
You and me are the only cool people here. Everybody here is just a bunch of posers and hoes and shitheads.
That's him talking to Mark Judge.
I think we are unanimous that any girls we can beg to stay there are welcomed with open ...
Wait, what?
Open what?
Open arms.
Oh. I'll bring the cookies.
Open legs.
Oh,
but that was too much to print, apparently.
All right.
Every orgy needs a witness.
Anyway.
And baby wipes.
I think we're all set. Remember that the eight of us are in charge. We get beds and we kick people out. No one else.
Yikes.
The danger of eviction is great, and that would suck because of the money and...
$50.
Because of the money and because this week has big potential.
For what?
Parenthetical. Interpret as wish.
Ooh, what a tease.
I'm leaving for Ireland on Wednesday the 8th, so someone has to volunteer by then to be in charge of money and signing lease.
We already know you're going to Ireland. You already mentioned it.
It will still
Bart,
be in...
Bart O'Kavanaugh.
It'll still be in my name. Bart.
It's interesting he signed it Bart.
That's a miss. Somebody miscalled him Bart at some point, and it's stuck, apparently.
Which is what Mark Judge used in his fictional book, right, where he called him Bart O'Kavanaugh.
O'Kavanaugh.
P.S. It would probably be a good idea on Saturday the 18th to warn the neighbors that we're loud, obnoxious drunks with prolific pukers amongst us. Ooh!
It sounds like he can't hold his liquor. That's why he never blacked out. He puked so much.
Advise him to go about 30 miles. I can't read the rest.
Why are you puking, though, when it's all gone up your butt?
What?
Just technically. Boofed up your butt.
Oh, I thought he was doing the boofing.
If you're drinking. You're drinking through your,
I didn't think
your
about
anus.
That part.
How does it affect your stomach?
Did you boof?
I would be so embarrassed to have a letter I wrote at age 17 made public now.
I know.
This
means nothing.
Another.
Other than that, he was there at Beach Week, which we already knew.
We're talking about girls with open legs.
Well, I mean, that could be consensual.
What was the girl's letter
really,
like?
They're really getting lost in all this nonsense and noise.
And no one is happy with the FBI investigation. And does anyone really know what's going on? I know Blasey Ford's complaining that they haven't interviewed me yet. And it sounds like they might not, because her testimony, I mean, I would be surprised if they didn't talk to her. Actually, I'm shocked they wouldn't talk to her.
Does the FBI tell us everything they do every minute?
No, they don't. So somebody tell Blasey Ford, shut up!
Trump kind of did.
Until the week's over.
Trump kind of did.
Oof, yeah. Isn't it kind of the main thing with the FBI is to keep things secret?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Until they got, you know.
So I don't know why these people are blabbing, but anyway, she says, wait, no, she didn't say this. Oh, there's a story out that she helped prepare someone for a polygraph and that she lied in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee when she said she didn't. Because I don't remember this, but they asked her, have you ever helped someone prepare for a polygraph?
So what is that trying to prove?
That she knows how to prepare for a polygraph?
Everybody knows how to
put shit,
you
man.
Put a tack in your shoe. Everyone knows that.
Oh, really?
Everyone. Yes.
I've heard that too.
Really?
I was kind of blown away that she passed a polygraph. I don't know why. Maybe I'm overimpressed by that, but I thought that meant something.
Mark thinks we're potential liars now.
Yeah, well, clearly.
Also,
the capability
that she lied about her fear of flying. She's not afraid of flying. She's flying. Apparently, they've got her career flying itinerary, and she's flown all over the world.
Well, it's so clearly busted then. She's also a great actress then, if that's the case.
And apparently they've dug up something about her second door, which she said triggered this whole thing.
Well, the fight about it, yeah.
That's
what I'm most
interested in.
Because she wanted the second door because she's so afraid of Brett Kavanaugh. If that's the I wasn't even clear. Is that what they were trying to say in the testimony?
No, just that it had that lasting effect that she could be attacked again. She feels claustrophobic and...
Okay.
The ability to escape.
Well, apparently people, and I don't know who these people are, but people obviously on the right are complaining, and there's allegedly some evidence that the second door was clearly for renters and for business.
Oh.
Well, that's what she said that in her testimony. That's what it's being used for now.
Well, don't ask me to explain why people are saying these things.
So is this
people are going through her flying itineraries, if that has something to do with this.
So is this the shit on accuser week now because the investigation's going on?
Oh, no, it's
because it wasn't cool to do it when she was testifying.
Well, it's interesting. It's cool. When I saw this conversation, there was that vein was there that, why ain't anybody asking any questions about her? It's all about him. And... it certainly is.
Well, he's the one who wants the lifetime gig.
No, she's allowed to be asked questions.
Sure.
But the argument is who's telling the truth. So, I mean, I think they're somewhat equals in that respect. Although they're always going to go softer on her because she was forced to testify publicly, which...
Well, then focus on the incident.
I still can't get past the fact that was on TV last week. It's like, why was that on TV? I mean, doesn't that just seem silly?
Yes.
You've got a sexual assault survivor, an alleged sexual assault survivor, and the accused person who says he didn't do it. Why wouldn't that be done? I just feel it's wrong that she was forced to be on television. Now, I know she agreed to be, but...
I thought she wanted to be. I thought she wanted it to be open and public. Maybe that was the Democrats that wanted it to be open.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused about all that, and also about, because, you know, we heard that in July, I don't want to be named. And then it goes from, I don't want to be named, to they leaked something, or someone leaked something, to, okay, I'll go on TV.
Well, I mean, sure
it just doesn't seem, it doesn't follow.
I'm sure she was pressured to, once it was out there, to testify.
But that's ludicrous.
Well,
ludicrous that she would be pressured in any way, shape, or form. Maybe that's her life's dream, was to tell on him on TV. I don't know.
She still didn't have to unless she wanted to, and she felt it was her civic duty, and people can laugh at that and laugh at her motivation all they want. But to act like she's getting something great out of this, I'm honestly at the point where if God forbid something happened to my daughters, I'm going to say, don't ever tell anybody. Just tell me, and we'll find you a therapist, because... what is the advantage of ever coming forward? What is the advantage to going to the cops?
Well, most people, well, I would say if it happened,
it's having a silencing effect.
If you go to the police quickly and you have, then you've got something that's fairly fresh.
Unless you have physical evidence.
This is what bothers me about this whole thing is
nothing's going to happen to Cristiano Ronaldo.
In 10 years.
She went to the police right away. She went to the hospital right away.
And she was paid $377,000 she says her attorneys pressured her to accept that deal. Like, this is the best it's going to get.
I almost don't blame her. It's all you're going to get.
I don't either. And I'm not sure why she's in a civil case. Although maybe that would buoy a criminal case, but you know, anytime you have we're comparing Judge Kavanaugh and Cristiano Ronaldo to regular people. And I don't think that's right. Those are people with outrageous resources. And if you have money, you can make anything go away.
Yeah, but regular run-of-the-mill assaults and, you know, rape, it's, a lot of them don't get reported because nothing ever happens. So it's better for it to just go away.
Or something happens, you go to an authority and then... you're threatened with other things being exposed that don't have anything to do with this one incident, but they're going to trash you because you came after them. So
it's hard he said, she said, but you know, maybe, I don't know. It seems to me the way we're doing this is wrong. Social media is not the place to do it. I don't think football coaches are good at resolving domestic violence or sexual assault. I don't think the Senate Judiciary Committee is very good at it. I don't know how good the FBI is, but...
So what's the right way to do it?
We ought to do a better job. I would say go to the police. I think that's the best way to do it. Because maybe, you know, a lot of times these people have been in trouble before.
A vast majority of those never get tried, never get charged. So why waste your time being interviewed?
Well, you know what?
What's the point?
But is social media a better place to do it? Is that fair?
Maybe, probably not, but sometimes that's maybe the only place to do it if you want to be heard. But most of the time, you get just shit on, so why bother?
The worst thing revealed by this whole thing was UB40.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best thing. I predict they got more spins this week.
They probably did.
They got more streams.
Well, when's the last time you thought of UB40?
Never.
I mean, that's good for UB40.
I was glad I didn't have to think about them.
And then I was sort of shocked upon listening to their catalog. They don't have any original material, do they?
Trudy, are you that simple? You actually went and spun some UB40?
I did. I did.
UB40!
I remember them. What did they known for?
It's on YouTube.
No, I went to Google and I asked Google to play, and they're all cover tunes of other people's material.
Oh my God, you're right.
Ska versions.
Well, they didn't write this one, right? Yeah.
Okay.
What's 1 in 10? You ever heard that song? This is off their greatest hits.
Oh.
So the first one was a cover. I don't know what this is.
Red Red Wine's a cover of Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond, or was it Tommy James?
Neil Diamond.
They are the band that put that piece of shit song out.
I'm pretty sure Neil Diamond wrote it.
Wasn't Tommy James
a version
before them?
Well, let me look.
Never heard of it.
Tommy James and the Shondells?
Writer...
When you go to some place like Jamaica and you hear your first reggae song and it's like, oh, this is cool. And then after you've been there for 5 days,
right?
It's like, oh, God, I'm going to hear another one.
Neil Diamond wrote it. It is fun to hear Jamaica-ized songs by bands you like because it takes like the third verse before you go, oh, my God, that's all you need is love.
Yeah.
It's so weird because every song sounds the same.
Yeah. You know what song I was thinking of? I was thinking of this stupid song. Which I like Tommy James and the Shondells. Sweet Cherry Wine.
Oh, yeah.
They had an obsession about wine.
Oh, they had a ton of hits. I think.
Oh, that's Tommy.
Crystal Blue Persuasion might be my favorite.
Oh,
cool
that one
song.
Rules.
And Moni Moni, of course.
And Crimson and Clover.
That's pretty cool.
Crystal Blue Persuasion.
You know, this was on one of the Breaking Bad soundtracks, Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Oh, it was? Well, Crystal Man.
Yeah.
Crystal, I think we're alone now. The original Dragging the Line. Dragging the Line. Oh,
I dubbed that song, too.
Yeah.
This is UB40 featuring Chrissy Hynde.
Why?
I got
they
you,
already
babe.
Covered it. Oh. That's right. I was thinking it was Red Red Wine.
It sounds the same.
It does.
Trudy, you're right. There's so many covers.
And the idea that they're sitting at a bar and they know what the guy who's the UB40 singer
looks like.
He's
hanging out at the bar. He's just having a beer.
So stupid.
Right after the show.
Well, this would go with Beach Week, right?
Beach Week 82, baby.
Woo! Babe.
Lots of boofing.
Boofing the red, red wine.
Ugh.
Well, look at this picture of Tommy James and the Shondells. They're trying to wear, like, Hendrix clothes on these schlubby white guys.
Oh, yeah. Nehru jackets.
Doesn't it look grim?
It looks really dumb.
Oh, boy. Boy, Hendrix did look cool, I have to admit.
It's funny when we talked to KK Downing that you had to have some sort of a uniform back then.
Yeah,
and he was trying to avoid it and ends up being a mistake because the uniform was the best thing for him.
But they all had publicists who had to make their look, you know?
Yeah.
Did that happen, though, like with Nirvana and...
Oh, grunge?
Wow.
Like that, they had their own look.
It seemed like a look, actually. I mean,
yeah, baggy
once,
pants,
once there were a few bands
flannel.
Out there, it was like,
brown.
Oh, they're all wearing flannel.
Yeah. Huh, that's interesting. They probably did after some of them
their look was
used.
A non-look. Their look was not having a look.
But that's what everybody in Seattle wore, it seems.
Yeah, for sure. But where do you get those sweaters? I still
want to
know.
One of them, well, though, no, if you think about Andy Wood, and why can I not think of the name? Mother Love Bone, he was very glam.
Was he?
Oh, he was incredibly glam. The guy that died of heroin from Mother Love Bone, and then that kind of helped create Pearl.
Does heroin make you more fashionable at some point?
Oh, maybe.
Absolutely.
Definitely thinner. You can wear
heroin chic. It's a look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was.
If you get the look without doing the heroin, that's even better, I guess.
He has a bowler hat. The bowler hat look is very edgy.
Yeah, and he, you know, he was kind of the godfather.
Hat. Yeah.
Look at that. Promo picture of Andy. We'll put
he did
Andy
have
on the
stylist there.
Not crazy about that look.
God, he was good though, and then dead.
Yep.
See ya. Dead.
Before they made it too.
Very, very sad. Dead.
Those are people who died. Those are people who died.
Shiny and sparkly friends. And splendidly bright.
Died.
Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
I feel like the Jim Carroll song should be played more often when people die.
Yeah.
It's the coolest song.
Who's died recently? Next time, we got to do it.
Well, Marty Ballin died.
Oh, that's true. That's a bummer.
Boy, that Starship catalog. Oh, wow, is it bad. I listened to a little bit of that podcast, and I actually was reading through them, and I was still stunned hearing it out of my own mouth.
Julie informed me she likes some of them.
Oh.
That was really sad.
Hashtag sad.
Hashtag sad.
And what a cool album cover this was. Him with his arm around his unhippest parents ever, possibly.
I don't know. Mine were pretty unhip.
Gross.
It's like the perfect punk rock song, isn't it? Die!
You got hepatitis.
Sorry you died.
That's a really great album cover.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
The colors are fantastic.
His dad looks kind of like a G-man or, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a gangster in his mom.
She might have an evil glint in her
She
eye.
Might, yeah.
I wish I had a father.
That's my dad.
Just died.
Ah, you ain't dead.
Hey,
I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean?
All right, everybody, if this doesn't get your toes tapping, then check your pulse, because you might be dead.
See, how many chords do you need for a great song? Two, three?
Yeah.
Ron and Nicole were physically dead, and it's almost like they killed me.
What? Oh, Jay. Happy anniversary to the Juice, by the way.
Oh, yeah, happy anniversary, Juice.
25 years?
Not guilty.
25 years ago?
Wow.
It was 95, oh, no. 23?
From that day when he had the most look, the most telling look on his face ever, like, they did what?
I know.
They acquitted me?
The guy to look at. The guy to look at when they say not guilty is Robert Kardashian. He is ashen-faced.
Oh, boy.
I mean, wow. He looks like he's just in shock.
I am 100% guilty.
He's thinking ahead to when his daughters all be
famous.
Naked. He's dead.
Isn't that bizarre to think about?
Yes.
I mean, he's just this tertiary guy. Although he did get the bag from OJ that they could never get a hold of.
The evidence. Crucial evidence.
Where is that bag?
No, I thought Juice threw the bag away at the airport before he flew to Chicago.
No, it's
a bag. About a different bag?
It's a bag with some of OJ's stuff in it, and they always thought there was something in that bag, and so they saw him, they saw Kardashian take it from him, because everything was filmed, you know, when OJ returned and he's on the property, and they saw him take the bag, and they immediately said, okay, we want that bag. And it's like, oh, it's crazy. I don't know where it is. And Kardashian declared himself OJ's attorney, so he had client attorney privilege, and he never had to say anything about it.
Oh, dick.
I know. Oh, was anyone ever luckier in a case than OJ Simpson? He was so fucking lucky.
Well, fame and money.
And luck. You know, that script. the script from the lady in North Carolina that Furman had contributed to. And he said he hadn't said the N-word in 5 years, and the script was 4 years old or something.
I know, and I accept the fact that people are going to feel whatever way they're going to feel.
What are you laughing about that?
He's a laugher.
I loved her, but I didn't like her. I wasn't in love with her.
Oh, good one, Juice.
You know, I was thinking on the...
he needs to take Cosby's place on the comedy circuit. How long before he does a sort of a spoken word thing?
There's Cosby news.
Cosby? Hey, what's Cosby?
I was telling you about it. Cosby is about to get out of jail, he thinks.
No, no.
What?
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
I don't know. He's got a foolproof plan.
He's not going anywhere.
He's got a foolproof plan.
Couldn't they just lead him to another part of the jail and he'd think he was out?
Yeah. Hey, you're free. You should start a rec league like I did.
Right.
Lord, they hired a team of experts to bust him out. He's hired a man called the Googler. What do you think the Googler does?
Is he like a superhero?
He just Googles. The man was introduced as a personal security guard to Cosby's team during the court battle, but the disgraced comics entourage soon discovered his role was much bigger. And the Googler now lives on Cosby's Pennsylvania estate, where he plots his release. Cosby,
man, I want to be the Googler. That's a good gig.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to believe how great of a gig it is. Mm-hmm. He literally pays one man to sit on Google all day long in the guest house in complete darkness. Which, why does he have to be in complete darkness?
He's a Googler.
Wait, why is it dark during the day?
He blocks out the windows. He has to be in the Googler must be in darkness.
I guess it's the light of the computer as he's Googling.
Yes.
So he's in complete darkness to Google and research successful methods other prisoners have used in the past to get out.
Oh.
The man is literally a, this is a quote, the man is literally a Googler from New York.
Wait.
That's what we call him. We don't know what he does, who he knows, what his past is like, or even his real name. But we all know he's here to stay. End quote.
Isn't a law library where you usually go for those kinds of things?
He can't read. He's blind.
He's the Google. Oh.
Well, you have to have Braille, though.
In addition, the prisoner hired two doctors and a prison expert to aid the Googler and bring him home. According to the insider, the Googler found case law that could permit the felon to stay in his personal jail cell across from the infirmary due to his health problems. During a phone call with Mr. Cosby, the Googler told him he found case law that allows him to stay housed in the infirmary throughout his sentence to avoid being placed in general population. So he's okay. Googler's paying for himself.
Good luck with that.
Cosby believes, I'll be home in no time. Hey. He thinks the court won the battle, but he'll win the war.
Okay, we'll be waiting for that. Yes. That sounds like fun. Yes. I'm glad they've got some good ideas.
The Googler.
We're always busting Maz's balls about just about anything. That being said, it turns out all the Zotford customers that buy from Maz actually love Maz, and we've been reading these fabulous reviews. I wonder, how many reviews does he have altogether?
Wow, that's
about a ton.
Lengthy.
Here's one review.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything. I pay for everything around here, right?
It is a 5-star review.
Bought an Explorer from Tom Mazzaway to support the Drew and Mike podcast. Great experience, awesome service, and a huge selection. I will be buying all future vehicles from Zot Ford and Holly. That's Andrew H. Go see Tom Maz, in quotes, if you want a truly great experience and the best deal on a vehicle. He will even waive his commission. He cares that much.
That
Nicholas
one.
G.
He'll even waive his commission.
Well done, Maz. These are outstanding reviews. If you want an awesome deal from a ridiculous guy, go visit Tom Mazzaway and our friends at Zot Ford and Holly, or surf their sensational deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Oh, it looks like a race car. I bet it's quick.
It's another review.
I love that guy. I'm glad he's kind of doing stuff
again. What is it, a race car?
And then
like he's going to do a show.
Oh,
Look at this guy, yeah.
Ah, that's going to last.
I'm worried about it.
A show?
Yeah. Episodes.
On what?
I don't know. It sounds like a TBS show.
Okay.
Doesn't it sound like a TBS show?
It sounds like a very short.
It sounds like
whack on, whack on, get through me.
I don't know where that show would fit.
Late at night.
Comedy Central? Maybe a cartoon version?
Look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that, look at this.
There's no time like the present to review your plan for retirement to make sure you're on the right track. Well, it may take a lifestyle change like cutting back on arm pizza, saving a little now. I know, pizza.
Wow.
Let's get some.
Saving a little extra now.
I'm not a fan of arm sauce pizza. That's not my thing.
Saving a little extra now for retirement. Arm pizza sounds fine with me.
Yeah. Zooves, order some arm pizza. Okay.
Saving a little extra now for retirement can have big results down the road. You don't want to look back years from now and wish that time travel speed was possible. And we've given many examples of little things you could do, and Luke would love
to
know. Is
that possible, to time travel speed?
It's not, or you wouldn't need Luke Nowacki. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 to get started on a path to retirement. Or maybe it's you've got a child you're saving for college and you're trying to figure out, how do I fit all this in? Mm. Whatever it is. Or you want to reassess
your money well.
Security Investment Advisory Services offer Signatory Investors Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor, 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 48034. What of you? 248-663-4700.
That should be his new slug line.
Spend your money well.
It's very simple, direct, and correct.
Amen. Oh, did you hear Trump talking about drinking, by the way? That was a funny little bit he went on.
Yeah.
The people behind him were, it was a moment of levity for everyone. Yeah,
not awkward at all.
No, not at all.
I thought it was kind of a chuckle fest.
Did you hear him do his set last night?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. On about 6 different newscasts this morning.
I love watching the people in the background. Yeah. Like this kid in a bow tie.
Oh, yeah, there's a...
That kid is pumped to be there.
There was a Twitter... somebody tweeted 3 faces of laughing men essentially saying, look at these assholes, who are these assholes, something to that effect.
You know, it's funny, this lady was not laughing, but then by the end she does hold up her sign. The women.
What's happening now?
She pulls it out.
They had gang rape. Many times.
Hey, there's children
well, that
in the
out to be false.
They're booing a gang
so
rape?
So many different charges. Guilty,
until proven innocent. That's very dangerous for our country.
Not a court of law.
That's very dangerous for our country. And I have it myself all the time. But for me, it's like a part of the job description. Let it happen to me. Shouldn't happen to him. Shouldn't happen to him. What he's going through, 36 years ago, this happened. I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. Okay. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know.
I thought she didn't know how many years ago it was.
I don't know. I don't know. What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it?
It was upstairs.
But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember.
She didn't know the neighborhood, roughly.
And a man's life is in tatters. A man's life is shattered. His wife is shattered. His daughters, who are beautiful, incredible young kids. They destroy people. They want to destroy people. These are really evil people. What's happening now?
Fun.
Okay.
Wow. Mississippi, huh?
Yeah. Mississippi?
That's where it was.
Oh. Yeah, why is he on a speaking tour, by the way? Just for fun?
Well, he's raising money for his reelection campaign.
Probably, yeah, it probably is campaign time.
Oh, it is. I mean,
he's on tour.
Every time he does one of those, it's not White House business. It's the reelect Trump campaign.
Yeah.
That's how they pay for it.
It's amazing how often we talk about campaign finance. For some reason, wouldn't you think these guys would get sick of asking for money all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think so.
Wait. What guys get sick of asking
all
for
running for office?
All of them.
Oh, God, no. The payoff? It's huge. Yeah.
Well, no, they'll do it.
That's all they do.
I would think they'd get sick of constantly needing so much money because it is all about the money.
It's all they do. They spend always, like 80% of their time raising money.
Yeah, especially after, well, whatever the term is, if it's 4 years, they spend the first 2 years probably working a little bit. And then the last 2 years just raising money.
No, they still, but they still do because they raise money on behalf of the party. So they're always, they go to that war room and they're always making calls. It's ridiculous.
If that's all you had to do and it worked?
Well, it does for most of them.
And you didn't have to do any other work that was your regular job that people expect out of you?
They don't. No, they don't do any work. They don't have to do any
they
work.
They really don't. Why not?
It kind of sucks, but... And they get health insurance for life, right? And retirement and awesome benefits.
Not a bad deal. Yeah. Chesting, Michigan has a great story today. They arrested a guy who stalks women in parking lots. I was like, stalking women in parking lots? I guess, yeah, women are pretty vulnerable. But it turns out he never has contact with the women. He parks in the parking lots. He has binoculars. Mm-hmm. And when they go inside, it's a doctor's office or whatever, he places things under their tires, like an old VHS tape.
What?
Something for them to run over when they back the car back up.
Really?
And then they hear the crunching sound, and they get out of the car, and they have to bend over to see what they run over, and that's when he has his binocs to check out their ass.
God, that's a lot of trouble.
Genius,
just get a butt.
Genius!
Get a butt shot.
That's what I thought.
What a lot of trouble. Weirdo.
Yeah, but he does get to see the women when they get out of the car, so he sort of knows what they're wearing, if they're hot. If he wants to see them, their ass.
How old is this dude? Maybe he's just bored.
He's a middle-aged guy.
Yeah, he needs something to do. He wants to get out of the house.
He's been in prison before it sounded like the same thing.
I'm bored, and I've been bored all morning.
That's it. Never going to stop when I run over something, and I'll have a legitimate reason.
That's funny, Trudy. I was just thinking, how many of these women really get out to check?
Well, some of the things were a little more probably check-worthy than others.
It's not illegal, though, what he's doing, is it?
Yeah, putting stuff in the tires is pretty...
Is that illegal?
Yeah. I think they charged him with stalking, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Then I better
stop doing that.
Of course, today was also... there was so much about this $15 minimum wage. How many protests do you have to have before something either happens or you just go, forget it?
Hey, Amazon got it.
They're almost there.
Scored it.
Well, they're almost there.
We sweat. Put 15 on our check. We work. We sweat. Put 15 on our check.
Do they really sweat at McDonald's? Do they?
Oh, I did.
I bet they're sweating.
In the kitchen.
Yeah. What's slaving over a hot.
What's the whole chant?
We work, we sweat, put 15 on our check.
We work, we sweat, put 15 on our check. Yeah, Drew.
Rashida Tlaib and Abdul al-Sayed were arrested for blocking traffic on Woodward.
Oh, don't mess with traffic, man.
And 16 other people were arrested with them.
And thank God Gretchen Whitmer didn't get hurt.
Yeah, she was late.
That was weird.
She was at the Flint rally where the truck... Was this a person who doesn't like minimum wage being $15 that ran into the crowd, drove into the crowd?
I don't know. Why did he do it? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know.
Was it because they were messing with traffic?
I don't know what they were doing in Flint. I have no idea. Other than we work, we sweat, put 15 on our check.
Yeah, and that's never going to happen in Flint.
The Woodward, I guess the point of this is $15 minimum wage and also demanding union rights. I don't know what they mean by union rights. I don't think they're trying to unionize McDonald's.
Well, maybe they are.
Maybe that, well, that would that maybe that'd point? Be the ultimate goal. You know, by the way, is this a union type of job? I thought fast food really was a place where
entry.
You, very entry level, college kids, summer jobs. The idea that this is a career, I understand careers are different things to different people, but it just seems like if you're working at McDonald's, you need some other skills eventually if you're going to raise a family. Because this is what I keep hearing is that, you can't raise a family on McDonald's. Well, no, you can't. It's not that kind of a job. Is it? Is it? Should it be?
No, maybe it's the only thing you can get.
A little different job.
Oh, you think?
Since you know, since you have inside dope, don't people in McDonald's do a one specific thing? And so a union, what would they be trying to regulate for workers?
Well, you could probably get burned money. By the fryer at the fryer. You could probably get burned by spattering grease, maybe. I don't know how dangerous working.
When you call your union, I got spattered by grease.
I mean, there's a big claim that there's sexual harassment going on at McDonald's, and they're very unresponsive about that. I don't know if they need a union.
For what it's worth, the guy driving the truck that hit the people is cooperating and has not been arrested, not in custody, so you got to believe it's an accident.
Just coincidental.
Amazon paying people $15 an hour, to me, that's not even news. That's like, what? Wait, Amazon doesn't pay people $15? Amazon, who made $177 billion last year, doesn't pay people in the warehouse $15 an hour? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is something. I mean,
there is the argument for whatever the market bears. I mean, they've gotten away with paying shit for a while.
I guess so. I just would think Amazon would be a little better than that because they make so much fucking money.
Still,
I'm not saying they should throw money
corporation.
Away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people forget that about a lot of these new tech companies, that they are still big corporations, most of them publicly traded.
Well, where I object, though, is that there's so much failure in Facebook, for example, where, you know, the algorithm didn't pick it up. Not our fault. We'll try and do better. Oh, 50 million accounts compromised. Oh, damn it. And it's like, but you could hire a few people and do better. You know you could. I mean, is it really okay to say, oh, the algorithm failed?
No, not anymore.
I mean, Facebook will do anything to avoid hiring people.
Remember, they have those people,
eliminate people.
Those people that would sit there, and if something's flagged, they have like 10 seconds to decide, and then it gets bumped up.
Well, maybe they should have
such a crazy
maybe
turnover.
They should have a little more time. Maybe they should have a few more people looking.
Well, or pay them more because they had such a high turnover rate because these people were like, oh my God, the stuff I had to see.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really stressful. Kind of soft. I mean, I could do that job easily. Nothing about
it. They make so much fucking money. They employ so few people, relative to what they do. Mm. You would just think they might be a little better work for, because, you know, from what I hear, and I don't know that many people in all these companies, I really haven't heard many people say they love work. Oh, Facebook is so good to work for.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Well, the Instagram guys just left because of the way it was being treated at the top. Because, you know, they bought Instagram and they were working for it.
Oh, yeah.
I know who you are. We're friends on Facebook.
But I wonder, what do you think?
The Amazon employees have been complaining bitterly about how they're treated and what working conditions are like there in the warehouse. There's no excuse. Amazon makes so much fucking money. This guy's the richest man in the world, and it's a fairly young company.
That might just motivate him more to have more robots in the warehouse.
Maybe. I don't know.
To fill orders.
And maybe they can use robots. I don't know.
Well, they
but
do.
It seems to me that they can afford to take care of people at Amazon.
They don't want people, though. They're not a people company because they've got those grocery stores that are people free. So
yeah,
it's all about being
efficient.
They got a
stock, though. They really do.
I wonder what the favorability rate of Facebook is, like in a poll, like people that like Facebook.
Oh, I think it's pretty low. Actually.
I would think it'd be incredibly low.
It's very low.
Nobody is massively dropping off after that hack on Sunday.
Yeah.
You'd think people would be like, oh, screw it, that's it, I'm done.
You know what sucks, though? I am so far out of the loop. I can't tell you how many times people are like, well, it's on Facebook. I'm like, okay.
You know, I've been saying this for a while, but I see it more and more and more all the time. How many people have not posted on Facebook in 6 years?
My mom was like,
I'm not just talking about people my age, it's more like 10 years.
My mom was like, did you see your nephew's home run? I'm like, no, where was it? Didn't someone email it? Oh, it's on Facebook.
I know, and people act like you should see anything on Facebook.
No.
It's like it's your job to see it. And you know, a lot of people just aren't really that into it. So I know plenty of people who are like, I don't do social media. And I'm like, wow, I really envy you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the worst. It's just a cesspool.
Do we have anybody call today?
I agree.
Oh, we
don't you love social media?
Sure. We could call Captain America. He just got married. He's 26. Guy named Captain America.
Is he go by Captain?
Is he really Captain America?
He changed his name to Captain America.
Mind?
Yeah, and he had a wedding announcement. We never called the people that were photobombed by McCartney. There's a sex robot story.
Ooh, sex robots.
Yeah, what was the deal with the sex robots? Was the place raided or something?
No, they're opening a brothel in Houston, and people are very upset that other people are going to go have sex with a sex doll instead of a real person.
Oh, so they should unionize.
But prostitution's illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not prostitution because you're just basically going to have sex with a doll. It's not another person.
So who's upset?
A group that is against human... Yeah, hookers should be upset, Trudy.
Hookers.
They probably are.
Group that's against human trafficking, which I would think it would kind of...
They're not human.
You're eliminating the need for... I don't know.
Well, okay, that's worth a call, I'd say.
There's the guy that started the wildfire... With his birth announcement.
He's not going to answer the phone.
The lady that got in trouble, her Halloween decorations caused a 911 call.
That happens every single year.
This one might be the dumbest one, though.
The person underneath the garage.
This one was because she wrote, help me, on a window in fake blood amidst a bunch of other Halloween decorations.
Dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Dumb. I kind of almost want to talk to her.
I would say the sex robot is...
Yeah.
Do you want to call the
people that are against it?
The people that you want to call them?
Yeah.
All right. Give me a second.
Wait, now who are these people are against human trafficking and yet it's not human?
It's called Elijah Rising. They're a Christian nonprofit seeking to end sex trafficking through prayer.
Okay.
Oh, good luck with that.
They blame pornography for all the problems in the church. Oh. It's not the priest's fault. It's pornography's fault.
I got a good song, though.
Really?
More human than none. More human than human.
It's better than the one I was going to use, which was Mr. Roboto.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
No, speaking of the church, did you hear about the latest Catholic Church scandal in Germany?
What?
What happened?
I don't want to read any specifics about it. It's so disgusting, but...
Well, it's Germany.
they go all in.
Sure, it involves feces.
There are mute children...
Oh, yeah.
...who were taught sign language to give blowjobs and anal sex and hand jobs and whatnot.
Which is this symbol. And this symbol.
Yeah, probably. But it's not in sign language. Apparently, the signs the priests gave them didn't translate, so they weren't able to tell anyone. They were trying to tell people, I don't like doing this shit.
And
people were like, that's not a sign for anything. So anyway, someone was finally able to communicate this, you know, who's much older now. And it turns out there are many, 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 many cases like this. People who were taught sign language when they were 10, 11 years old to provide sex for priests.
Is that why some of them end up translating public events in it?
What's the name of the robot joint?
Adult Love Dolls. Brothel, I guess? I don't know. Pretty generic name.
It's about love.
Thank you for calling Elijah Rising. This is Hayden. How may I help you?
Hey, Hayden, this is the Drew and Mike program. We were calling, when it said you guys are going to bat to fight the adult love dolls brothel.
Yes, sir.
And can you explain to me exactly what's going on? You're trying to stop human trafficking, right?
Correct.
And what do these people do? I just heard about these terrible people. I don't know much about it.
So with a robot brothel, it's essentially a robot brothel. And so what our stance on it is, let me actually hand the phone off to our communications director, and he'll be able to explain, because he's the one who's been, organizing this whole thing. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I need to learn more.
Yes, sir, just one.
Now three times.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. One moment.
Thank you very much.
That's sexist.
Uh-oh. He was doing a good job.
David.
Hi, who's this?
David.
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 Elijah Rising.
This is the Drew and Mike show calling, and we were calling to find out about this, some brothel, I guess, that you guys are fighting. They're involved in human trafficking?
They are not involved in human trafficking. They are a robot brothel where men can go and basically rent out a robot. For half an hour, kind of the same model as prostitution.
I like robots.
So we work to end sex trafficking, and we believe that this is going to create sort of an entry point for men to go out and not only purchase these robots, but ultimately, after they get tired of that, they want to, have a real encounter with a real woman.
So the robot would be like gateway sex for prostitutes. Kind of like marijuana is a gateway drug.
Yeah. I think masturbation's first, then robot sex.
And, there is sort of the way that they're made is they're made for men to act out sort of violent sexual fantasies.
Oh, like Whoa. Westworld.
How are they made
to do that?
Well, that's what the marketing director for our adults has said, that, when men get these aggressive urges, instead of taking it out on real women, they can take it out on these robots.
Oh, well, so it's cathartic.
Right. We don't believe that these are therapeutic in any way. But we believe they actually allow men to rehearse those types of sexually abusive situations, and
so
ultimately
it's not simply about having sex or oral sex or that sort of thing. It's something larger than that. Some sort of violent sex. Is that what you mean?
Right. Yeah. And
really?
There's no long-term studies on these robots and their effects on the mental health or physiological health of men, or how it influences.
Well, let's open the brothel and get some studies going.
Yeah, is anyone?
They've done one study, and they haven't been able to prove that there's any sort of health effect.
Have you? Well, except for do they do have a sexual release of some kind? I assume. Blow loaders.
It sounds like a study where a guy just wanted to keep banging the robots, so it was inconclusive.
Yeah, and it's similar to pornography in the way that pornography trains men how to view and treat women. And that's why we have such a growing issue with sex trafficking today.
I'm just wondering, have you been able to speak to anybody who has actually frequented the robot, the sex robot?
No, there's not one that is open in Houston or the United States.
Well, there's one in Toronto. Sounds like a road trip.
Right. There's one in Toronto and I think in the UK.
And no one's available that's done this before? Because it seems like it'd be interesting to find out what they think.
No one really wants to share that they've had sex with a robot. Even the owner doesn't show his face or...
Oh, they're hiding?
...make much of an appearance.
I haven't seen the robots. Are they attractive at least, or are they just run-of-the-mill? Girl next
they
door
are,
robot next door.
They are, they try and recreate a woman that a man would find attractive. They look very young.
How'd they do? Were they successful in doing that?
What'd they look like?
You go on the website, kingsdolls.com.
I don't have the internet. Did you think they look nice?
What is the website in case we are able to obtain some Wi-Fi?
You can go to kingsdolls.com.
kinkydolls.com.
And they have kinkydolls.com, and they have photos on there.
Nice.
Did you think that the women were lifelike?
No.
Oh.
They weren't. Well, then I wonder how they succeed. I mean, could you imagine somebody actually achieving satisfaction with a kinky doll?
I don't believe they can.
Are they better in that?
Because it's plastic.
Are they better in those regular old-fashioned sex dolls where the mouth's just like an O? You've seen those, right? Those are ridiculous.
These are different. These, you know, some have ability to respond to touch.
Whoa, really? What do they do?
One of these dolls actually have a setting where you can turn on sort of to simulate a rape.
What?
And so the doll responds negatively to physical touch.
Oh my God, well, that's not rape settings? Oh,
well, that's pretty bizarre. Stupid. I gotta tell you, it's called
a frigid pharaoh.
I'm looking at a picture of
I'm
looking at one of the kinky dolls here on we found some Wi-Fi. It's crazy. And this woman she's very attractive, I have to say. I'm wondering if some people that aren't able to find someone that attractive, if that's why they find it. That's why they go there, because she's pretty attractive.
Yeah.
That kinky doll.
What if they got rid of the rape setting? Would you be cool with that? And then would they be allowed to open?
No, it promotes prostitution. It's a similar parallel. We don't believe that men are going to settle for just renting out a plastic robot doll. At the end of the day, you know, it's going to create an escalating tendency for them to go out and seek and purchase sex.
Well, maybe,
and it's
maybe
a huge issue in Houston. Sex trafficking continues to be a growing issue in Houston. We have over 300 illicit brothels. And
focus on shutting those down.
Well, I mean, can we really, is it possible to shut them all down? I mean, isn't this going to happen? I mean, there are people, have you heard of these incels, these kids are losing their minds because they're virgins, they're 25, 26 years old, and they commit violent acts because they're angry at women for not having sex with them?
Yeah.
Look, we created, all we did was get a petition. That's the majority of the resources that we put into this. We have around 400 volunteers. They volunteer every month. Oof. Every Friday we go out in Central Houston, Baytown, Leak City, Northwest Houston, and Katy, and we are reaching women that are in these brothels being exploited.
Well, that's phenomenal. So that's phenomenal. Like, that's great.
Our whole mission is to shut down robot brothels. We just created a blog, created a petition, and got the conversation started.
But wouldn't a robot be better than than an actual prostitute? I mean,
it's like vaping is better than smoking cigarettes. I mean, it's not the ideal and best, but you're still better.
In the moment, you know, a woman's not going to be harmed, but at the same time, you have to think, what does that do to the men that use these things? Even psychologically, imagine the shame that someone would feel. Even just thinking, you know, man, I couldn't get a real woman, so I had to settle for this robot.
Well, the robot
sounds like a shot of reality for the losers.
That's what I when I looked at the robot, I thought, well, a lot of men might never be with someone that attractive, so maybe that's part of the reason for that. But that's beside the point. What about people who really are having no success with women and they just need some kind of release? I mean, if you're 30 years old and you've never been lucky or been fortunate enough to meet a woman or fall in love with someone, I mean, what's someone like that, an incel, supposed to do? Yeah, go ahead.
All men are not given access to women's bodies. In sex, there is a mutuality of consent. And so just because a man has an urge does not mean that he is entitled to act out on it.
But if that urge is that urge is unanswered for the first 30 years of your life and you are an incel, as these people are called, what is the solution for something like that? What do you suggest they do?
Be a therapist.
Therapist. I don't know if that's going to do the job.
Yeah.
Especially when these robots are around. I mean, it seems like these robots could have some practical use. Would you agree or not agree with that?
There are some people that think that they can be therapeutic. We don't believe they can be. We see it very similar to pornography. And if you look at the harms of pornography and way it enables men on how to dehumanize women creates a tendency in them to perform more violent and deviant sex acts.
Well, what if we get the
violence? Normalizes for them. Yes.
What if we got the violence out of it, though? What if it was just you know, pure sex?
A hookup.
It determines. It depends on what you think sex is. It is.
With the definition of is
robot sex.
Now, how about what if we had just legalized prostitution? Won't that end human trafficking? Because then it'd be legal and they'd be registered and you'd have to have a license and then you're bringing it out of the dark and you tax it.
They did that in Amsterdam and so far it's been disastrous. What we're pushing for is actually something called
Why has it been disastrous?
Because organized crime still continues to thrive in the red light district in Amsterdam. There are rooms where women are being sold. You can't have pillows because the potential of a sex buyer literally smothering a girl to death. There can't be sheets. There's a choking hazard. There's panic buttons.
Well, that's good. It's regulated. There's rules. Rules and regulation.
It's incredibly violent. It is still violent.
I'm not sure. You know,
organized crime continues to thrive in these.
Think about how bad it would be if it wasn't legal and, you know, they weren't registered and checked on.
We actually believe it would be more beneficial to punish sex buyers and pimps or traffickers or owners of brothels.
You know, all this aside, it seems like there's a lot of focus on the violent element when, you know, I'm not an expert on prostitution, but it seems to me most people are just trying to have sex or some kind of sex, and that's usually what happens. And the violent part, I mean, I'm sure, of course, it occasionally happens, but isn't that far more the exception?
A majority of the time it happens. There's a study, a lady interviewed 854 women in 9 different countries in prostitution.
He's doing these studies.
61% of them have been raped. 73% of them have reported violent sexual assault.
No, I'm sure.
So is prostitution inherently violent towards women? Yes.
Well, but if you're saying once, what if she's a prostitute, she's probably been with 1,000 dudes. So if it's one
small
out of 1,000,
percentage,
I mean,
And you're working with a real, you know, questionable pool.
Prostitution is inherently dangerous. It humanizes women.
I'm not a fan.
Ultimately, it's not healthy for men.
What about the flip side? Because they do sell some male sex dolls. What if the women wanted to go have sex with a male robot? Is that cool? What about male prostitution?
You can go on Kinky's Dolls. I didn't see any male robots.
Well, go back on there. Check out Jack and John. Check out Jack.
I didn't see those. They just added them.
I wasn't even aware of that.
He's only $2,500 if you want to buy one.
Is there any difference between male or female in the robot world? Or is that similar?
I would say it's predominantly women robots.
Okay. Go ahead, Trudy. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to ask, how do you attempt to argue people down from the position? What are you trying to do? What is your goal with this activism? Are you going to, you know, call people, or how are you intervening?
Yesterday we spoke with city council, and so today they're voting on a revised ordinance that would not allow the place to operate as a brothel in the city of Houston.
This is going to send people to more prostitutes, more real prostitutes.
Or private parties.
Isn't it?
It's only going to contribute to the growing illicit sex trade in Houston.
Seems to me you're against just the release in general.
If we're going to have sex, that's all it is. Period.
What do you think of that guy's opinion?
Player Dave is very powerful.
I don't know, kind of against.
Do you want to comment on his position?
Is one of your opponents, this is some audio from city council yesterday. You want to play that again?
Oh, yeah, here he is.
Player Dave's.
Look, if we're going to have sex, that's all it is. Period.
I mean,
do you think he makes a good point? Apparently, Player Dave's not registering.
I suppose not.
Well, thanks for your time. I certainly present an alternative viewpoint to what a lot of people feel. And
thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Good luck. Good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Take care.
You're just anti-boner.
How many Xanax?
How much violent sex is he watching, man?
I know.
You know, he's missing what would be a better point for intervening would be the sanitation.
Oh, yeah, gross. No, don't get me wrong. Who wants to go to that anyway?
They're rentals.
They're probably cleaner than real prisons.
They're just against people blowing up, period.
Yeah, they don't want any blowing up. Because they figure out once someone blows up, then they're just going to turn into those just raving lunatic monster.
I'm dying to know if really people are using the robots for... Because if they're violent with the robot, then the robot's going to get broken.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't be. But there's got to be rules in the robot brothel.
I'd like the violent rape setting.
Did you see Jack? Jack's dong.
I know. Wait, let me put my glasses on.
There's one tight scrotum.
My glasses on looking at a robot penis, but I will. Oh, wow, I completely missed it.
Now look at his face. His face does not fit. He's got a very effeminate face.
Oh, I see.
Whoa, is that a transitioning?
It comes with a flaccid
woman?
Setting, Trudy.
Transitioning guy to female?
Why do we want that?
A flat. Well, in case you just want to sit him up on the wall like that.
Oh, I see. No, we don't have a use for that.
Why would what guy would position his hand like that?
Isn't that robot kind of fat?
Yeah, a little bit.
He's accordion.
What's up with that?
He's no John. John's got a very fat. He's got Kavanaugh hair.
Why are these dudes so femmy?
Oh, well.
You know why.
Drew. Jeez.
Because they're for dudes?
They have one female head that they just model everything on, I would think. It's probably for guys, too.
It could be for
gay men. Yeah, it's for
men
dudes. I think it's for gay men.
Yeah, a boyfriend.
Oh, like they need a doll.
That's true. I know. That is a small market.
All right, so let me get this straight. So I'm going to pay for a blowjob and I got to pay for a goddamn hotel room too? Well, that just seems like I'm spending too much money for nothing. I got a house. You can just get your ass over here and I can just do the blowjob here.
He's got a point. Here's a guy at the robot brothel.
Oh, God. Look at me, Mom.
Get it, Daddy.
I feel like I could go all fucking night.
But you only pay for an hour, baby.
Oh, right. No, but if I had paid for more, then I could...
Let it all out. Let a good return on that dollar. That's it. Go on, get it.
Hey, has anyone used a scooter? You know these scooters that are...
No, I want to.
No.
That story's interesting to me. Normally, I'd be completely uninterested, but I saw a truck full of scooters in Royal Oak. I'm like...
God, I hate scooters.
What? I some people look stupid on scooters automatically. That's, to me, is the worst part. But...
Yeah, if you want to walk...
They have...
They follow you. They chase us on the scooters.
They've got two scooter companies in Detroit, and they said, okay, we've done this before... We just unleash the scooters, people get the app, they charge up their card, and they can put their card in the scooter. You just lay it down when you're done with it.
Just like the bike.
Scoot it to work or whatever, and then you know somebody else can pick it up later, and they'll ride it. And these things are, apparently in Detroit, they're driven 6 to 8 times a day.
Yeah.
People just pick them up, put the thing in, off they go. Wherever they go, a lot of people are saying, yeah, I'm driving them to work every day, or I'm driving them here, I'm going to work out, whatever they're doing. And there's only... Two companies, though, and they both want more scooters, but the city is limiting them to 300 each. And there's another company that's come in and said, we're the biggest scooter company. We want to put scooters in Detroit. And they said, nope, we're still checking this out. And I thought about it. I thought, oh, I know why they're limiting the scooters. They don't want to screw up the queue line.
Oh, yeah.
That's why.
I mean, they've just spent all these billions on the queue line. What the queue line cost?
Was it $800 million or $500 million?
I don't know. No, it wasn't $1 billion. It was. Well, no, wait a second. They do.
Now, see, other cities
I'm confused
have banned
what they spend every year versus what they spent to set it up. It was a ton of money.
Trudy and I had a lively discussion about this one day before the show. Other cities have banned them because the difference between them and bikes are people on bikes ride in the road. People on scooters are on the sidewalk, so they're kind of the way of everybody. They're kind of the asshole in the way.
There's a real problem with
always.
You know, like anything new, like we've had cell phones for how long and we still don't know how to act.
Yeah. Social media, no one knows how to use it right.
No, and no one knows how to use scooters either. And so, yeah, they are a problem in that respect. But I'm wondering if the biggest problem is that they're too popular and they're going to destroy public transportation with the younger people anyway. People are willing to ride scooters.
Public transportation in Detroit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the queue line and the people.
Oh, the queue line.
I mean, if you can just hop on a scooter and go, for a buck or $1.50 and get to where you want to go. Why would you wait for the next queue line thing to come along?
Because you don't want to look stupid because you're riding a scooter.
I know, but if you're 20, maybe you don't give a shit, or maybe I don't know.
You really hate them.
Or you really need to get your next fix.
I think in San Francisco they're pretty popular, but some people really, really hate them. So one guy was taking a shit on all of them. Did you see that? He was taking a dump on all
of them. No, but I'm looking for
it. That would take a long time.
I'll just tell you. Let me Google scooter dump. Lord knows I'm going to find. I'm the Googler.
The Googler.
Any of our people listening in other cities, I'm just curious, are they?
Oh, it's in L.A. Look. Oh, they're like, they're throwing them in the ocean.
Yeah, that's pollution. I did not like that.
What, people are just anti-scooter or just assholes?
Yeah, because they're all over the place.
And they don't kind of watch where they're going, so it's on you in the car to sort of watch out for them.
So you're supposed to drive them in the street?
I would think that seems
messy, too.
I've seen a lot of, you know, well, this is pearl-clutching morning TV going, oh, it's not safe.
But do we want everybody on a scooter? I mean, imagine if people were just sprinting down the sidewalk running into people.
Well, if everybody was on a scooter, maybe, or a bicycle, like China did for quite a few.
Oh, they've got a lot of scooters.
I bet.
A lot of scooters.
Here you go. There's a picture of someone who took a dump on it. Do you see that? Gross.
Ew. I want to see a dump.
I'll put a picture of that on the website for you.
Lovely. So these are just angry commuters who
they don't want
to put it in the scooter. Yeah. They're not going to stop scooters. Scooters are coming. It sounds like the limited use has been extremely successful. They want to expand, and of course, well, for whatever reason, they don't want to.
Don't they have to be charged?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to happen in the winter.
Probably won't be on the streets.
I don't know how popular they are. I mean, how many days, this is interesting, how many days a year do you feel like are really hard to drive?
10?
15 days?
Yeah, not that
20
many.
20 days? I mean, less than a month probably. For a scooter, maybe a few more, but it's not that bad.
I wonder if there's a pushback because remember they're trying to get all the biking, the docked biking, the bike sharing, the bike thing going, and maybe they think this is a private, I don't know if that, is that private or public?
The bike
sharing really? It's a gateway means of stupid transportation.
What would you rather do? Would you rather cycle or ride on a scooter?
A bicycle?
Yeah, they have
I'd rather be on a scooter.
You know, they're coming to Ferndale and Royal Oak and Berkeley.
Scooters?
No, the bicycles where you just pay and then you hop on the bike and dock it somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe scooters are preferred because you don't really have to work. You just stand on them.
Yeah.
So, you're just riding on this.
Someone's
going to
get hurt and sue the city and the company.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe no one has yet.
I'm sure that's already happened. Yeah. Don't worry about
what
that.
What kind of bike do you have?
I mean, how many claims? I foresee.
We'll be doing tricks with them.
You got like 3 feet of air that time.
A Call Lee Free ad coming out soon.
Or Mike Morse.
You ever take it off any sweet jumps?
Meanwhile, today, the story, let's see, this is Free Press for page 4, is it the legal fees for Larry Nassar?
Oh, cool.
For the case? $17 million. And I looked at it and we're like, $17 million?
For his lawyers?
First of all, no, not for his lawyers.
Oh.
For Michigan State's lawyers.
Oh, the university.
First of all, they negotiated that settlement so fast. Yeah. I mean, it was like overnight, they came up with, I forgot how many million dollars was it?
Is it 500?
Well, there were 300 victims, and they paid them 250 grand each, or was it 300 grand each?
I don't remember.
It's a lot of money.
Great lawyer.
But, I mean, it happened really fast. So, you know, as always in these cases, because I remember the Detroit bankruptcy, the millions of dollars they paid lawyers, it was incredible. And the hours were incredible. And I found it unbelievable. And so did the city.
It's $500 million to settle the lawsuits. But I think $450 and then didn't they save $50
million? Well, they have some left over for future claimants.
But $500 million was the settlement.
But when the city said, hold on, this many hours, this is enough hours. And they, you know, came up with some mathematical formula. And the lawyer said, hey, wait a second. We just lopped $17 billion of debt off, and you're bitching about $100 million? What are you doing? And it's like, no, that's not how it's done. There has to be a certain amount of work done. And it's like Monica Lewinsky owed $2 million for them. What did she need to spend $2 million? She blew a president a few times. Why is that too? I mean, isn't it crazy? And like this Christine Ford has GoFundMe for, you know, I don't know what it's up to now. It was $530,000 when we checked the other day. And someone was suggesting, well, she's going to need a lot of legal help. And it's like, legal help? She's a victim. Why is she paying? Why does she need $500,000 for lawyers and transportation and light? It's like, what?
Didn't our lawyers say that they were taking it pro bono anyway?
Yeah, that's what they said, which is what people who are critical of the GoFundMe said immediately. But anyway, I'm looking at the Michigan State number, and they said that it includes 25,500 hours of work. 25,000 hours? And then you find out little things like, oh, well, they defended William Strample, the dean who was collecting nude selfies of students and making all these rude comments. It's like, why would they pay for his lawyer? They gave him retirement, which I understand. If you have tenure, that means you can do anything and you're still employed. You can murder someone and you still have tenure.
Strample had a video of someone with a robot sex doll.
Yeah, probably. This guy was so bad. I mean, it was like he had videos of Nasser. Didn't he have videos of Nasser with chicks?
Strample?
I don't think he did.
Of his demonstration videos or something that he'd saved.
Oh, maybe he did.
Oh, I thought he did.
He had his own
in his collection.
I mean, this guy was undefendable, and yet they paid for his defense.
That's pretty stupid.
And Engler didn't want to, and I guess someone Engler didn't
they
want
paid
to pay
for his defense, or they paid for defending against the charges. Against
no, they
him.
Paid for his defense. The university was paying for half the cost of former Dean William Strample's criminal defense. Something that John Engler said Michigan State did not want to do.
Well, I'm sure they did a really good job for him then.
Well, they may have done a good job for him because they figure the better they do for him, the less exposure they have for him, for his victims suing Michigan's. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's in their best interests, I suppose.
But they say the cost of, I don't know, $17 million, really? $17 million? I mean,
that's steep.
That's like a whole law firm for a whole year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, did they itemize?
25,532 hours. I'd love to go through those hours.
Well, remember they found with the city the guy was taking a limo around the block?
Yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, in the bankruptcy, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, there were a million things like that, which they brought up.
I bet you someone's going through. Some reporter.
Yeah, I'd love to see the itemized line list. Charlie? Line.
And they point out in February, MSU President John Engler said, we're firing Strample, said the university would not pay for his legal defense. And, of course, he was then told that, no, you can't do that because he has tenure. No. I don't know. I'm just so thrown by this whole tenure idea that if you have tenure,
people
you can
do. People want me to hire a wall of lawyers.
You can humiliate your university, and they can't fire you. And you can run going, they can't fire me.
Again, sweet.
Mm. Yeah, if you have it.
Right.
But it doesn't make any sense to me.
Just out of curiosity.
Why would there be no reason you could fire someone? I mean, anyone can be fired. Anyone.
Well, like we
said
before,
Supreme Court.
The point of it is supposed to be for whatever their research is, so they can just do research without
being... Yeah, but research has nothing to do with saying, fuck Barbara Bush, I'm glad her husband died, and I hope she dies, and her kids are... war criminals, and I hope they all die. I mean, doesn't reflect.
Should be limited to the scope of their research, since that's the point of it. Yeah, I'm really dismayed at something. I didn't get my presidential text alert. Did anybody else get it?
Oh, I did, and I thought it was a virus.
Did you get one, Drew?
Yeah.
Let me see.
We were supposed to get it at 2:18.
Really?
And
I didn't get one. I didn't get one.
I didn't either.
What does your say, Trudy?
Presidential alert.
Yeah.
National.
Well, let me see.
Everybody was supposed
to. I'm jealous
to
get, of Trudy.
I kind of am
like
too.
She's in the loop, and I'm not.
Everybody was supposed
Did
to get,
you get
one.
Joe?
It's
I swept
FEMA.
It away.
Joe didn't get one. What? Why is Trudy so special?
I don't know. I thought it was a virus. So
it's probably because we're down here in this Faraday cage. It's just blocking all the signals.
No.
Well, I'm going upstairs
not
in a minute.
Mine.
Because it's bullshit.
I can't believe that though. Nice system, FEMA. I hope there wasn't something. I hope there's nothing I need to be notified of.
Good thing they tested it. It sucks. Since only one in four people get
Sue's
it.
Sue's got his.
Oh, he does have
okay,
his?
Okay, read it. Read it for us, because I'm.
I thought you said you didn't get one.
No, he got one.
Yeah, but I thought he said you didn't get one.
I just got it.
You don't know anything about tech.
It just popped.
The National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed.
Well, then why did I get that? Okay. I need to take action now.
We'll just see how superior my phone is to yours, then.
Well, clearly.
Okay.
I'm worried. You can turn it off, by the way, if you really wanted to.
Oh, there are people who just because they, oh, I don't want any. And you know, notice they any Trump, disaster.
They think Trump's going to start tweeting their phone directly.
That would be.
That's what some people think.
But the whole.
Well, that'll get about half the country to get rid of their phones.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody go back to old school. But you heard about the Indonesian situation?
Yeah, no one here cares. That's like half a world away.
The earthquake causes a tsunami, causes a volcano. And no one knew because their system of conveying text message alerts, just like this one, went out.
Yeah.
The very first thing that happens when they have a disaster is it unplugs.
That's why you got to test them.
The disaster alert.
That looks like futuristic, beautiful stuff.
You know, technology and stuff.
Tomorrow is TJ Miller Day.
For
maybe
certain.
Take two.
Oh, my God.
Trudy?
If it doesn't. Yes.
Certain.
Yes, for certain.
He's at the Comedy Castle Sunday.
So, yeah.
Three times on Sunday.
And Mark Ridley's 40th anniversary of the Comedy Castle is coming up. I guess we'll talk to Mark. He can drop all those names of all those. Boy, it is really incredible, all those frame pictures. Most of them in black and white, of course.
I would love to hear all of the stories or some of the best stories. He says he's really not going to kind of gear it up until December. But yeah, I think we need to hear about it now.
I think
now.
It's actually 2019 is 40 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's probably waiting. But TJ Miller tomorrow.
Yes.
He's at the Comedy Castle Sunday for multiple shows. And get us out of here, and I'll quickly mention a few things that happened on October the 3rd.
Ooh.
The Beatles recorded Savoy Truffle, one of the George Harrison tracks from the White Album.
Nice.
Great track. Boy, all the song, that album, you know, the 50th anniversary is coming out. All the, it's, I don't know what they've redone, but there's a lot of demos and stuff. It's like 107 tracks. And I was looking at the White Album. They're putting out another George Harrison song, too, that they didn't include on the White Album, Sour Milk Tea, which
just
I've heard
found?
Before.
Wow.
No, it's. I think it might be on an anthology in a different form. But, God, there's so much variation on that record. It is such a cool double album. So worth it, in my opinion. But also, on this day, October 3rd, Sinead O'Connor ripped up the photograph of the Pope on Saturday Live!
What did she say? Fight the real enemy. Something stupid like
that.
Yeah,
that's what she
that
said.
That went over great.
Well, half the country was drunk when they saw it.
So.
I remember a radio station in Phoenix banned her from the airwaves.
Is she still banned?
Yeah, obviously. Of course she is. MC Hammer offered a $50,000 reward for the return of Michael Jackson's white glove, which had been stolen from the Motown Museum on this day in 1991. Whatever. He doesn't even have $50,000.
No.
And then Cars' Benjamin Orr died of cancer at his home in Atlanta at the age of 53 on this day in 2000. Original vocalist from Iron Butterfly, Daryl DeLoach, died of liver cancer at the age of 56 in 2002. And
don't leave us on a bummer.
That's about it. Sorry. Gotta do it. TJ Miller tomorrow. See ya!